Santa Claus. Ho, 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 ho.
To finish my Christmas cookie, courtesy of Rob Nasser.
Yeah.
I think Tisa made these. And I know my way around them because this is the second batch of them I've seen.
Yeah, you've declared.
I know where all the good ones are in there.
I know where the
buried
best ones are.
In there.
Well, there's some on the top, too. And I'll get to those. Mm. But, hey, it's our last show of 2018. A good time to thank all our sponsors.
Last new show.
Yes. Important distinction. Zot Ford, Zot Dodge Ram, Zot Chrysler, Zot Toyota, Dr. Roche, Adam, Lincoln, Star Lincoln, Dr. Yaldo, which has been a great success story for us. Luke Nowacki, who is part of the Lafayette Coney Island deal Saturday from 12 to 3, which we're now officially participating in as a paid sponsor. It went kind of viral. If you've got a badge, or you're retired and you had a badge, police, fire, EMS, first responders, people like that, they're feeding you from 12 to 3 on Saturday, and that's on the corner of Michigan and...
It's on like a triple corner, kind of, where all the roads converge.
Yeah.
Isn't it by the new where the new Hudson's building's going to be?
You know what?
I get so confused around there.
It's Michigan and Lafayette.
Lafayette.
Yeah. American Coney Island. American Coney Island.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. lunch for anybody.
That's great.
Who wears the badge or did. So, yeah, thanks.
Do you have to wear your badge?
I don't think so. I'm not sure there's any intensive identification process, but No Bullshit News started this with American Coney Island, and Luke Nowacki jumped on board, and we're on board, too. So that could be it's a real nice event. That's great. Mm-hmm. And there's more good news, too. But first, it's December, which means all the good boys and girls get a visit from Santa himself, and Zotford and Jolly Holly is celebrating. Did I mention Adam among our sponsors?
Yes.
Yeah, you did.
I mentioned Grow Green Michigan.
Grow Green did not get plugged, but
that's
now it is.
That's wrong. A spaceman!
Breathing today was enough.
Is there somebody else I should have mentioned? There probably is. I'll think of them. Anyway, a visit from Santa and Zotford and Jolly Holly. They're celebrating their Built for the Holiday sales event. During Zotford's Built for the Holiday sales event, you pay what they pay. You don't have to be an employee to get an employee discount on select vehicles. The 18 Ford Escape as low as $123 a month. No plan, no problem. Lease a new 18 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 as low as $144 a month.
Awesome.
No plan, no problem. Don't delay, because once St. Nick finishes his holiday gift giving, Zotford's Built for the Holiday sales event will go poof. See ya. And while you're there, don't forget to give Maz a big hug.
Or okay, cool.
Whatever else. I don't want to get ugly about that. And then,
yeah, that guy loves
choice.
Hugs.
Yeah, he does like hugs. He, you know, the Christmas season, I'm sure.
He loves me.
He's just having a crazy good time. Last minute gift ideas from Dr. Roche. They've got that 20% off of Botox, Dysport, and fillers.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often. 20% off Botox and fillers. Call for an appointment. That ends December 26th, 248-338-1110. And, of course, Christmas gift certificates are available. They will be closed Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But a gift certificate maybe go for the 20% off on the Botox and fillers. Somebody would really like that.
Go all the way.
Here is my Christmas request.
Overhaul it all.
Or a gift certificate for new boobs. I know people do that. I'm always surprised to see, wait, boobs for Christmas? Really?
Why best not? $200 I ever spent.
I do hear a lot of people walking around saying, oh, I'd love to buy some boobs. Well, maybe somebody will buy them for you for Christmas, if you ask. Maybe somebody's thinking about that. Or maybe some body tight.
Please, Santa, bring me boobs for Christmas.
No, body tight doesn't sound as exciting as boobs for Christmas. But
hey,
whatever.
It is.
248-338-1110. And don't forget, 20% off Botox and fillers.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen very often. www.droche. Look at all the pictures of the great work they're doing, including the rhinoplasty, which they were talking about a couple ads ago.
Yeah.
Wow, those pictures are amazing.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's what Craig specialized in
way back when.
Oh, yeah. And he's known for his noses. I will say that. So anyway, today I woke up to a text from Brandon that was pretty good news, really good news.
Mm-hmm.
It was the top podcasts by state. And there's a map of the United States. And, of course, I click on it. I'm thinking, okay, what other show am I going to see? It's going to piss me off.
Of course.
I really did. I thought it's going to be IT in the D, or it's going to be...
They're killing it.
Yeah. They're doing really well, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But there it is. Michigan.
Yeah.
Drew and Mike show.
Yay.
What?
Congratulations, everybody.
I was kind of stunned, actually. I mean, I kind of thought it could be, but... I don't know.
I thought it was going to be that because Brandon sent it to us.
Well,
I don't know why Brandon would be sending something else.
That's true, but where are we on Google Play, by the way, Brandon?
Oh, I think we fell off.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. It must be the algorithm.
Drew and Mike podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
But we're number one in the state. How can we fall off Google Play?
You know, it really depends on, I don't know. I think it's new subscribers. I also think it's total down. I don't know how it really gets calculated.
I think they just want me to keep asking.
No idea. Because sometimes I'll look.
We were
and
16
boom.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, boom. We're in the 20s or something. And then the next day we're off. And then the next day we're on. It's just a weird, weird system.
Well, the Nerdist put the news out. It was actually Spotify's thing.
Well, that's the other thing. Isn't it just Spotify?
Right.
Is it just Spotify?
So are people moving from Google Play to Spotify?
I didn't think Spotify was even our wheelhouse.
A lot of people use it.
I don't know.
Except we were, you know, originally we were all on iTunes and we were Google Play, and then we started getting more platforms. And I just didn't think we were that big on Spotify. Hey, I'll take it.
I'm non-braggadocious.
Maybe it's larger than Spotify.
Spotify's good. I mean,
yeah, I'll take it. No, it's great. Spotify's tech, big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very happy. And also,
no, they have been a little slow posting new episodes, but it's crazy.
Well, that's okay. We'll forgive them because they
had a few complaints wondering where they were, and they were just really delayed for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I like it because it's like, I want to fix it, but I don't know how to fix it because there's nothing we can do about it, really.
Well, they're not going to put out a new number one for a year, so they're going to stay off my shit list for a while. If they take us off, then we'll lay into them. Google Play is now on my shit list officially. But anyway, yeah, so.
You know?
I love that you keep a shit list just like Aretha.
I know. There's no rhyme or reason to it either. It's a very personal thing. But anyway, no, that's really cool. I'm really excited about that. I mean, it's with radio, when those numbers would come in and you'd be at the top of the list, it's really fun. But it was always like, oh, what about next month? And at least with podcasts, you could rarely get rated. So,
well, on radio, when it comes in and it's number one, you also get a bonus.
That's true too. Yeah,
is Spotify sending us a bonus?
I don't know. I was wondering more about a trophy. Or a plaque
would be great.
I thought that was a passive aggressive comment to Drew.
It did sound a little. I did take it a little personally.
Know they made ninth place ribbons.
It was, but then I diverted it over.
Let's see. Brilliant. It until Spotify. Some asshole pointed it out.
Right. Let's see where the merch sales go. I thought, wow, we're doing so well with merch until I got the bill for $10,000. And then I was like, oh, wait a second. I thought that $10,000 was ours. What the fuck? Going through, why didn't I pay for this?
The bookkeeping might be a little loose.
$10,000.
It still doesn't seem fair, but.
Isn't it better when you don't see all this stuff?
$12 million.
You're absolutely right. I know. The Drew Mike store is open, by the way.
There's still some stuff left.
To defray the cost. Mm-hmm. And also.
No.
The electric football game with Mike and I against Kirk Gibson and Gary Danielson is getting some love.
That was really cool watching that again.
Famous video.
That was really cool. I like that.
I've been kind of influenced now to go through all my old VHS stuff because I think somewhere on there I have where was it Sergei Fedorov that snubbed Clark?
Oh yeah,
I'm almost positive I have that tape.
That would be fun to have. That would be fun to look at.
I don't know what's going to be harder to find, that or a VCR to pull it off.
Well, you know, you can take any type of medium and they'll put it on a disc or. On a flash drive for you.
Who's they?
Yeah, I think like Walmart. We did that.
Walmart?
We used to have all these VHS tapes.
Come over?
Hanging out in Walmart?
We used to have all these VHS tapes of us fighting when we were in high school. We had like a little stupid fight club.
And bum
we used
fights?
To beat the
oh,
shit
you're breaking
out
the first rule.
Yeah, I know. It's stupid. But
fight club?
It was brutal. I should actually get this video to you guys sometime because we had like these little 2-ounce gloves, like UFC gloves, and we would just pummel each other to the point where...
You want
to
go?
The school stepped in and had to stop us because we started having, like, black eyes and broken noses. And so a couple of people got called down, like, what the hell's going on?
There are a bunch of Ed Nortons walking around the school with a couple black eyes.
Let me tell you how this is going to go down. First, I'm going to kick you in the chin, breaking your jaw in four places. I'm going to take you and karate flip you over my back and then knee your nose into your brain, killing you instantly. I do want to get a throat rip in here. Think that's going to be you, small fry. One thing I do know. I'm going to rip your dick off and shove it in your mouth, and that is non-negotiable.
It was exactly like that. Wow. And we had them all on these VHSs, and we ended up taking them to Walmart, and they put them on a little disc for us. So we got to watch them again, watch, you know.
They had no qualms about young, underage men fighting on no. videotapes.
Yeah, I figured Walmart would make some smart-ass comment when they gave it to you.
Some judgment.
They probably made a copy of it, and they're passing it around.
But it can be done, Mark, so you should grab those VHSs.
I know. Someone in this room has to have a VHS machine. Yeah. No, of course Joe does.
A new VCR.
In that hoarding pile. Yeah, I know. Why would you?
Can't throw out a VCR. A new VCR.
An old VCR.
So, wow, that's pretty intense. How come we never heard about your fight club before?
What was your record?
Are there some pictures?
My record, I probably lost that one of them. I got hit in the nether regions. I had to go to the hospital, and it was bad because I had some severe swelling down there.
Oh, cool!
Yeah,
really? Well, it's like my high school coach. The speech he gave every year about wearing a cup. He said, "My brother kicked me in the nuts, and 2 weeks on my back, one with ice, one with heat. It swelled up like this, and his hand, yeah. like he made his hand as big as he could.
And
then he, went, and then he made a fist and went, and then nothing. Boys, you always wear a cup. And he frequently referenced that he only had one testicle because his brother kicked him. I don't know. Were you supposed to wear a cup when your brother's about to kick you? I mean, be wearing a lot of cups.
He must just want you to always wear one.
You always wear a cup. That's true. That's what he said. You always wear a cup, boys.
I think in all the videos, I think I'm in three fights. I'm pretty sure I lose the first one by decision. The second one, I lose because I had to stop and go to the hospital. And then the third one,
what do you want
to
do, huh?
I won via knockout.
Can we get Can we get this on the Facebook page?
Let's put it on a YouTube.
I don't know if I want to put the video out there.
We'll blur their faces.
I think at a minimum we
have the technology.
I can at least maybe bring it in and you guys can do the commentary on it.
Couldn't you just clip some highlights out of it so you look like the winner every time?
Well, no, I don't mind losing.
Can we just see you get hit in the nads?
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. You can see it right on. I'll bring it in.
That'd be a big winner on Twitter, wouldn't it?
Sure.
With our
he sure as hell can't sue you for slander. The boy fights for the pink team. We all know that. God, the kid's queer, so. Did you make him cry?
Well, you got all the stuff done at Walmart. You got to share it with somebody. Was that just for personal enjoyment?
Well, these tapes were lost forever. You know, in the early 20s, we used to talk about them. Hey, whatever happened to those tapes? And then when my buddy finally found them, he took them to Walmart and got them on a flash drive. You can do that now.
Fight Club tapes.
Yeah.
Wow.
But one question, though. Do they have to sign releases?
See, that's the thing.
Such a qualm is it.
There's
who's
a bunch
on
of people that are on there, so I'm not sure if they're cool with that being public.
Just get them to sign.
Oh, man, we had broken orbital bones. One guy busted nose. It was.
I said to this kid, I said, why don't you stop doing that? He said, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, well, I just might do something.
Going.
He said, you and who else is arming?
We have another
just
guest.
Just three of us. Me, myself, and I. People like that, you got
to
hurt them.
Hey, Mark, I can do mine because we're going to get to his in a minute.
Okay. Man, those dogs hate
Eli. Eli's 20 minutes early, a full 21 minutes early. He's the most punctual person.
We should just wait outside like Tom does. This is the weirdest thing. Tom sits in his car before he comes in for like...
He had a migraine.
Yeah. Oh, is that why?
He's resting his eyes.
But he always does. I mean, not always has a migraine, but he always sits outside.
I think a mid-afternoon nap is a pretty regular thing for him. Just
I don't blame him.
Just guessing. I bet he's slept in his car outside his lot from time to time.
God, shut up, Mags and Layla.
Layla, jeez. It's been a great first year for the Yaldo Eye Center and the Drew and Mike Podcast Partnership. So many of you have taken advantage of Dr. Yaldo's free comprehensive evaluation and then decided on either custom CATS LASIK, the world's most advanced. Many people 50-plus have gotten the multivocal implants that give you precise near and far vision for life. Others have opted to stick with the old technology and get great frames and lenses from the classy new optical department at Dr. Yaldo's. That's a great idea. And anyone who says they heard about Dr. Yaldo on the podcast gets the healthy Drew and Mike discount. Now, please, if you have a Flex or health savings account that has to be used by the end of the month, get the free evaluation. Put your remaining 2018 funds as a down payment to get surgery whenever you're ready. So plenty of ways to get to see better, save, and enjoy a better lifestyle without the hassle of glasses and contacts. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to Yaldo Eye Center. And then join us in celebrating the holidays with Zot Chrysler Jeep and Zot Dodge Ram's Big Finish event. As we bring this wonderful year together to a close, our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep and Dodge Ram want to pass on the most significant savings of the year to you, our loyal listeners. Lease the truck of your dreams, the all-new 19 Ram Bighorn Super Crew 4x4, completely loaded at $169 a month. If Jeeps are your thing, you can lease a new 19 Jeep Cherokee Limited at just $149 a month. Finally, for the first time ever, Zot Chrysler Jeep will drop an additional $1,000 off the very best deal you can find on a brand new 18 Jeep Wrangler. Nobody discounts Jeep Wranglers, but during Zot Chrysler Jeep's Big Finish, they do. See details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Luke Nowacki sponsoring the first responders, free lunch at American Coney Island, and also reminding you over the past few decades, were you goofing off with college friends or maybe changed jobs a couple times? Maybe from CBS. Somebody may have lost track of an IRA. Or actually, it was a 401k. Yeah, you left 401k and you're unhappy about what's going on with it. Yeah, that's right. Let's make you happy with that old retirement plan. Call Luke Nowacki's team. Look over your... Boy, with the way things are going, it's really not a bad time to be looking at stuff. Yeah. What's the market down today?
380 right now.
Oh,
it's not
great.
Closed yet. Trump's speaking, so it'll be interesting to see which way it
Don't
goes.
Don't be economic girly man.
You know, it was funny watching the Fed on there the other day when they were making their announcement. He was talking for a long time, and the market's just going down, down, yeah. down, down. Get him off the stage! Call Luke Nowacki's team at 248-663-4748. Where's the bottom? We'll fix that faster than Gretchen will fix the roads. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates is separately owned, and other entities in our marketing names, products, and services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Incorporated. So, there's a few other things today. And year end is really, I don't know, it's kind of, I feel like I'm kind of phoning things in.
Well, everybody just, else's, it's just list of X, list of Y.
Yeah. Worst episode ever.
Most phoned in thing on the Today Show was, it's Working Girl 30 years later.
What?
The movie Working Girl.
Who celebrates that?
30 years later. Oh, my God.
That's Working Girl.
It's just as good as when it was back then.
Well, wouldn't you think?
God. Well, GMA had his Die Hard at Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The answer's obviously yes.
How dumb.
End of story.
You know what was going on yesterday? And this is actually getting a lot of activity. It was making me mad. Was the flub in Love Actually. The fact that Alan Rickman buys his wife a Joni Mitchell CD, which is in like, what, 2005? Right. She's a giant Joni Mitchell fan. Why would she not have that already?
Yeah, sure. Of course.
She's such a fan. He buys the girl at the office a beautiful necklace, right. Which she thinks she's getting.
It's one of Drew's favorite Hugh Grant movies.
Yeah. He's just got a cameo in the movie. I don't even think I saw the whole thing.
He's got top billing, man.
No, he does not have top billing.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. There's multiple people at the top.
Yeah.
I think he's barely listed at the end.
No, that's a multi-star studded event.
You don't love it as much as Chris Matthews loves it.
No, that was so funny.
Weird. Was that on John Oliver?
Yeah, I think so.
Trying to find it.
That was bizarre. Who would mention that movie more than once?
Someone that really loves it.
Chris Matthews.
See if I can find it. Oh, carry on.
The Wakanda Forever sweater. Yesterday, there was complaints about the model being white, and not only being white, being extremely white.
He's really, really white.
Are we going to start judging white people by how white they are, by the way?
I don't know, but this guy's really white.
Mark already does.
What? I do?
Yeah.
How do I do that?
I don't know. You have something against pales.
Oh, no, that's just redheads. But black people can be redheaded.
What?
Well, true to you.
I'll go back.
Now, Forever 21 was taking a lot of crap today, and a lot of people were saying, old white men blew it again, you know, assuming that they must be owned by old white men because they made such a tone-deaf decision.
Don't wear that outfit again.
You know, were they possibly trying to tell white people that they can wear these sweaters too?
I don't know, but Jimmy Kimmel made a great point about this. Wakanda is a made-up place.
Right.
It's a movie.
Yeah. But it's a made-up place.
It's a movie.
I don't know the name of it, but it's very comfortable.
So you're not being racist against a fictional place.
Well, apparently a lot of people feel that a black person should have been modeling that sweater, regardless fictional. I think it's incredibly stupid. I can't believe we feel the need to talk about these dumb things all the time.
Well, we're addicted to outrage. We really are.
Yeah.
You're not fine.
Got to kick that habit.
Don't sell it at all, then. Don't sell anything.
Well, I feel like by putting, by saying, oh, my God, that was a terrible misstep, putting a white person in that sweater, I feel like they're saying, this is not for white people. Like, they were trying to appeal. They were trying to broaden the marketing of the sweater, and they blew it by upsetting their base, which is black people.
Is it only a black movie?
I mean, I saw it. I saw it, too.
Yeah?
And honestly,
are we not allowed to?
I guess we shouldn't have.
Well, who's allowed to have?
I'll skip the sequels.
I like all the
Iron Man t-shirt or a Thor t-shirt. What do you have to be to own one of those? Within the sort of the rubric
Thor,
that they're judging us by. Norse. If anybody but Norse is featured wearing that sweater, it's an
Well, this guy looks Norse. He's so white.
He does. He looks like he's on that show, The Vikings.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Same difference.
Well,
what about blaxploitation films? Are we not allowed to like that? Like Shaft or...
I like some of those movies.
They're all great.
I didn't know I wasn't supposed to. Forever 21.
What's the one with Melvin Van Peebles? Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. Did you ever see that one? That's a famous one.
Oh.
I don't know. Pam Grier was in a lot of the blaxploitation movies. Jackie Brown was more recent. I think Blaxploitation was 70s.
Do yourself a favor and watch Sweet Sweetback's badass song where there's like 15 S's in the title.
The company that made the sweaters, though, is Forever 21, and we were talking about all the outrage at the white ownership, and it turns out they were founded by two Asian guys.
Ah,
so take your shit and go after these Asian dudes. They deserve all the outrage.
How stupid. How dare they?
How insensitive.
Yeah, and who knows? Do we know that the founders made the decision? I mean,
of course not.
Really?
They hired the white person that did it, though. We had a black model of Ferrari apparel.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I do. I saw that.
She's beautiful.
We were very diverse. In our
That's family. Right.
Actually, I don't think it was even done on purpose.
I don't know. I didn't know how that happened, actually. I just thought, I was like, oh, where'd that dude come from? Well, whatever.
Hey, look good in this.
Great guy.
Merch.
Hey, Travis Scott is playing halftime with Maroon 5. Now, is he going to get?
Cool.
Is he going to be in trouble for that?
Who's Travis Scott?
What? Stormy's father's?
Kylie Jenner's baby mama.
Daddy.
Daddy.
Stormy's father.
Oh, my God.
Who's that dude?
I give zero fucks about that guy.
I think he is. I think he has the number one song in the land right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's really good.
Yosemite? Is it Yosemite?
No, it's... what's it called?
But is he going to take
sicko
crap
mode.
For... Is Amy Schumer going to lay into him? Amy Schumer thought she had nixed...
She was gloating.
She thought she had nixed the halftime show.
Rolling Stone has a big article on him. He's an interesting dude. The world that likes him really likes him, but I don't know anything about him.
I just know he's with Kylie Jenner.
Yep.
Might
she's
be
worth
fun
a
for
billion
a while.
Dollars, man. Oh.
Ellen DeGeneres recently called him the voice of a generation.
What? Okay, I gotta catch up.
This is Drake.
He's in the song, yeah.
Does any rapper do a song by themselves ever?
Yeah.
Let's skip ahead. Like Jamba Joe's, different color chains. Think my jewelry really selling fruits. And they joking, man. Oh, the crackers with you wasn't no.
Sunset. Surrender retreat. We all in too deep. Play for keeps. Don't play us for weeks.
Sunset.
Surrender retreat. We all in too deep.
That's the number
great
one song.
Drives
a Lambo. That's pretty cool. There's thought that he's going to ask Kylie to marry him during the Super Bowl halftime.
That'll ruin my day.
Well, it'll ruin your next day, too, because that's all they'll talk about on Good Morning America.
You are good shit, and I want to make this legit. I'm still going to pay you, but I want you to stop banging other guys. What do you say? Want to be my wife or what?
What?
Wow. That was romantic.
Mm-hmm.
God bless him.
Not good for him.
Harvey Weinstein.
Super.
Did you see? Anybody see Harvey Weinstein going into court today?
Yeah, just see the.
Looks great.
All the actresses there.
Yeah, Marisa Tomei, Amber Tamblyn.
How'd she look?
They looked pretty good. I thought.
She looks great.
Jennifer Esposito. Who's Jennifer Esposito?
I don't know.
Oh,
why was she there?
Selena.
She trying to get publicity for herself.
Selena.
She played Selena.
Uh huh.
You mean the one that was murdered?
Jennifer Esposito, right?
Oh.
She was in Crash. That was a big movie. It won major awards.
Was she assaulted by Harvey? I guess, I assume she was, if she was there.
What else was she?
Kathy Najimy? That was a weird thing. I was going, wait, I remember hearing Kathy Najimy was assaulted by him. Was Marisa Tomei assaulted by him, too? Or were they just supporting?
I just assume everybody was.
Okay.
He had a lot of energy for that kind of thing.
Judge is not dropping the rape charges.
Esposito was married to Bradley Cooper.
Ooh.
Espo was?
Yeah.
Really?
They divorced after 5 months. That's interesting.
Okay.
That's cool. Good for her.
Jim Brandstetter coming up to talk bowls.
Yeah.
And then later on, we're going to talk to Ian Winwood, who's the author of Smash, Green Day, The Offspring, Bad Religion, No FX, and the 90s punk explosion.
Smash!
Which I was reading, and if you're into punk at all, or into rock and roll, pretty cool. Oh, by the way, there was a dispute going on online today. Who was... Dee Snider was bitching...
Adam Levine.
Adam Levine.
Yeah.
for saying rock is dead.
Yeah.
Apparently D is in the clubs, and he says at the club level, rock is very much alive. So.
Well, it's dead on the charts.
That's the thing. It's dead in terms of how much it's released to the public. You don't really hear these songs in the top 40 anymore.
I think it'll make a comeback.
The charts matter.
I don't think it's dead.
I think it's going to make a comeback. I really do.
Look at all the tours. Look at the biggest tours. There's plenty of rock tours. Granted, it's older people, but somebody's going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
there's an audience for it. It's just someone needs to make it.
Immortal Sin's still rocking.
And it needs to get exposure.
Greta Van Fleet's out there. Mm-hmm. That's the only band I can ever name when somebody says, well, who's making rock now?
Yeah. I really like nothing more. I like a lot of the stuff that they put out now.
Yeah. Not a lot of young acts that are getting a lot of attention, but, you know.
It's because you have to learn how to play an instrument.
It's all cyclical. Yeah, that's a problem, too. You need four people that play instruments. So, yeah, it is easier to be a rap star, I guess.
1, 2, 3, 4.
This band's great.
Sounds like a number one hit tune.
The big news today, well, not the big news, but local news, and we aren't a sports podcast, but who's it, Devin Bush and Kron Higdon said they're not playing
along
in the Peach Bowl.
Gary. Mm-hmm.
Really? So, they're not going to give it the old college try
for
their school?
Apparently not.
Well, so they're amateur athletes with a chance to play at a great university. Why would they pass up the opportunity to play in the greatest?
I know, student athletes.
That's right. It goes to show. And you know what? We've come to the point where people are okay with that. Imagine 20 years ago, if an athlete, if a guy said, I'm not going to play in the bowl.
20 years ago,
remember
2 years ago when Jabril Peppers was sitting it out? Right. People were like, he's faking an injury to go into the draft.
Right. Well, that's why I mentioned to Drew I was going to talk about the fact that it's a racket, and they're really racketeers who wear three-piece suits and, pretend to be into asking students to come to their school to enjoy the academic rewards and on the side play some football. So I'm sure that Daxton Hill, the five-star safety who flipped his commitment from the Wolverines to Alabama and then back to Michigan, realized that the nuclear physics department at Michigan is superior
to
Alabama, and therefore, if he's going to ever work for NASA someday, he's better off playing at Michigan. Obviously, that's the reason why he flipped and why they go back and forth and back and forth. And years ago, Urban Meyer, that at SOB in Ohio State, when he left Florida, where 31 of his athletes had been charged with criminal offenses, announced he was going to recruit players who were already committed to other universities as long as they hadn't signed. So it's open season on everybody as they go. I can't say bid on them, right? They recruit, they beg, they cajole, but they're not going to pay them. So the reason I call it a racket, and by the way, I love college football. I love watching it.
I'm
excited to talk to Brandy. I really hope that this number 4 Michigan recruiting class is as great, because it's worth not only victories, but millions and millions of dollars to my school. And the great thing is they don't even have to pay these guys, and it's worth millions and millions to go to the bottom line in my school.
So it keeps lots of people in the athletic department employed.
Yes, it does.
Making big dollars.
Yes, it does.
Because you don't have to pay the players.
Well, it's great because I got this in the mail today for my personal seat. What do they call it now?
Personal seat
contribution.
License?
Oh. No, it used to be a personal seat donation, but because of the tax law change, you can't write it off anymore. So now it is a personal seat contribution, which they want you to pay.
That allows you
ASAP.
You to sit in a metal seat.
The honor of
with
buying
no room,
a seat. Yeah.
Pay $5 for a bottle of Absu Pure Water.
It's just amazing. And I'll pay it. That's what sucks.
You have to buy the ticket after you make the seat donation.
Right. All the ticket prices are the same, no matter where you sit in the stadium.
I see.
The reason
not after your personal seat license.
Of course not.
The reason I'm cynical is that, you know, there was the 18 years of no-show classes at North Carolina. And what I really like is there's so many criminals now in college sports because they really didn't go to college. They're just going to college. They have to play football. They have no other way to make a living if they don't go through the college. Now, the SEC requires schools to discourage recruits from committing sexual assault. In other words, we didn't know that that's a bad thing. We have to sit them down and tell them why it's really a bad thing when you're representing our school.
That's, so, wait, that's for real?
That's for real, yeah.
They discourage them?
Well, they have classes to tell them how to avoid. Oh. Maybe they teach them the difference between the word no and the word yes.
Well, what about
know.
Everyone else? Does everyone else take the class? Well, just the athletes?
Just the athletes. I think it's a little higher percentage of criminal activities than among the athletes and the rest of the students. But the reason I call it a racket, which is a strong word, and why they're racketeers, is because the definition of a racket is that racketeers fix problems that otherwise wouldn't exist. You know, like the mob offers to protect you, your store, from being ripped off by them or anybody else. So it's not really a problem. They create the problem and then charge you to solve the problem.
Forget about it!
So colleges didn't need big-time college football worth billions of dollars. They already had sports, and students could come and try out for the teams. So a false need is created. Big-time college sports give scholarships and no money to the elite athletes who have little interest in their school or any other school. But since there's a monopoly, you can't make a living unless you go through the colleges. So they create this scenario where you have to go there in order to make a living at it, and they won't pay you. And I said what Walter Byers said, who was for 30 years the NCAA president, called it a neo-plantation belief.
Who's that dude?
That
he's
the
right.
Enormous profits are that it's the overseers and the administrators decide who gets what from the profits. And funny, they get the money and the coaches get the money, but the players don't. I'm not saying pay the players, because then that would destroy the illusion of student athlete.
It's going to end. It's going to end soon. There's another lawsuit besides O'Bannon's. There's another one, a former running back, I think, I went to West Virginia, suing him. And his whole plot is that these conferences conspired to keep the ceiling of a scholarship down. And they're probably going to rule that, no, you can't do that, which means...
What do you mean by the ceiling of a scholarship?
How much they can provide in grant aids.
Okay.
Which, in other words, they can pay them. They'll be able to pay them. And then the fear is that you're going to have this Wild West, this free market. And what's going to happen to the little guys? It's like, well, isn't that America? Isn't that capitalism?
It's a phony economy. In other words, they can give you great food in the athletic dorm, but a coach can't drive you to class because that's an additional benefit. Yeah. So it's this contrived, phony economy. We love it because it's great. We love college sports. But when I see these scrambling for these players and the recruiting, and they're worth millions
and
millions of dollars.
Press conferences, high school kids, 17-year-olds holding press conferences.
Right, right. Remember Cam Newton admitted that he got offered $180,000 to his... You know, the same thing with the kid Bowens from Saginaw, who was going to go to Louisville.
Yeah,
offered
Brian,
hundreds of thousands of dollars. Of course, they never paid him. They lured him there and never gave his dad the money, or just a small part of it. It's such bullshit.
I'll be taking
But Michigan's doing well.
Columbus to The Ohio State University.
I want to take my talent to, for the next 3 or 4 years, the University of the Boo Bib LSU. I will take my talent to Gainesville, Florida Gators.
I will be taking my talents to the University of Auburn.
I, Zach Manning, taking my talents and my efforts to the University of Southern California.
I'm taking all physical abilities to the University of Alabama.
Huh?
In this fall, man, this is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach.
Everybody, it's an amazing. They all used his line.
What, take my talents. How embarrassing.
Well, it's really the only embarrassing thing.
There's one step up
Ron's
from that.
Career.
I would like to showcase my talents at the University of Michigan.
What?
There's pro players say that too sometimes. Well, LeBron said it. That was the last one, wasn't it? Was that LeBron, Brandon?
He made it up.
Yeah. I'll take my talents to South Beach. Yeah, that was the last one there. Right.
Not one, not two, not three.
But anyway, so Michigan did well. That's good. And I think
they were number four, huh?
Number four.
Wow.
It's the first time they've been ranked in the top five since they started gauging this stuff back in the early 2000s.
Depends where you look, though. Most of the reason they're that high is because, what are they signing, 27 guys? I mean, it's a huge class. It's a big, big class.
Yeah.
Who's number one?
Say Alabama.
Alabama
or Georgia?
Alabama, Georgia, and... Let's see, I have it here.
It's not
thank you and roll tide.
Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, Michigan, and Oregon are the top. Michigan also got wide receiver Cornelius Johnson and a few other guys.
Kiss my butt! Roll tide!
Where's Ohio State?
They're way down. They keep on losing guys. Meyer lost Defensive back Jordan Battle flipped his decision from Ohio State to Alabama. And a quarterback, Dwan Mathis, I think was number one in the country.
From Oak Park.
Was going to go to sign with Georgia instead of Ohio State.
Now that we've completely put the whole thing down, I want to know who had the best classes because I want to watch the games. Right. I want to know who's going to be good.
That's right.
Is Virginia Tech anywhere in there?
I don't think so.
Oh,
goodbye, fucking shit school.
Yeah, that's what a couple guys said.
They're in the NCAA.
They were 4-6, and they lost a couple guys, and then they won the last two games. We kept all the guys that said they were coming, except for the ones that left when we were losing.
So. Anyway, well, so I wanted to get that out of the way before we talk to Jimmy Brandstetter. By the way, is it time to call him yet?
Yeah. That is the Hall Financial Hotline opening up. Click the link to Hall Financial. Another one of our great advertisers. Did I mention them?
So, but it doesn't hurt to say again.
No, it does
how
not.
How much we love them.
And when we're done, I do have to do the Star Lincoln because this was supposed to be a Star Lincoln feature as well.
Is Jim Brandstetter therefore brought to us by Star Lincoln, possibly? Or was the recruiting, the racketeering rant brought to us by Star Lincoln?
Can I
just do it now? Just do it now.
What?
Star Lincoln.
All right. Legendary dealership, luxury cars, Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield. This is the wish list month where you can get great deals on all Lincolns, a great SUV, the truck of the year, in fact.
Kill the theme song.
The Navigator.
For, thank you.
You've also got the Nautilus. And Jimmy D is your personal salesperson. Call him at 855-567-STAR. He will go over the entire lineup of SUVs and sedans. Continental is one of the great cars in America, one of the great luxury cars. Show you around the lot. Got some great deals. So call Jimmy D at 855-567-STAR. It is Star Lincoln, Detroit's premier Lincoln dealership.
Yeah.
And that was No Filter. So, you know, Jimmy Brandstetter, I've known him for a long time. Let me know when you have him on the line, because he is great at introducing people. I've been to many outings and things with him, and he just has a great way of honoring people and getting the crowd excited. So I wanted to give a little intro to Jimmy if and when we do get him on the phone.
He's probably close. Yeah. Well, Brandon's doing the pre-interview.
Let me see what time it is.
Speaking of Michigan, did you see who allegedly is going to attend there next year?
Who?
Sasha Obama.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really? You're
yeah.
kidding. Anyway, you know.
What an honor.
Yeah. You know, what does it matter? Maybe they'll put her in that intro video for the games.
I've heard Jimmy do some great intros in the past. So, Jim, hang out there a second. I'm going to try and introduce you, okay, with a little history here. Jim and I were freshmen. We were freshmen in 68. His first varsity season the next year, 69, was Bo's rookie year. He backed up future Hall of Famer Dan Dierdorf. Ironic, of course, that they're the broadcast team now. He got a TV job in Saginaw right after college when we graduated, a UHF station. Remember that term, UHF?
Yeah.
I was doing FM radio in Detroit, living in Ann Arbor, and I directed the games, and Jimmy would drive down in the middle of the night from Saginaw. We did them on cable TV back when cable TV began.
Jimmy.
It began in 1974. We were doing games in 75 on cable TV.
What games
were
you doing?
Exactly right. You remember the guy's name at Ann Arbor Cable
Ray Rutledge.
That was it.
Ray
Good
Rutledge.
You. That's a great memory.
Now, here's what's interesting is because you couldn't see Michigan games alive because they weren't televised. Maybe the Ohio State game won a year back then.
You were doing
you remember the deal with ABC. You could be on ABC television three times in 2 years. That was it.
Yeah.
And all teams like that.
Right.
And
right.
Ohio State, Michigan was always on. But then they had to pick one game the rest of the time because cable, really, Michigan was only on, like I said, three times in 2 years national television, a whole lot different than it is today.
So what we did when cable TV started was we could record the games on Saturday and then play them back all week long on cable TV. So that was the only way people could see Michigan games back then. It was it was just in Ann Arbor. And not
everybody
had
shot the video.
That's exactly right.
We had two cameras. We had a wide camera and a close camera, both on the photo deck. And I was outside in a little truck. And Jimmy was and you were doing Tom Slade, right?
Yeah.
Former quarterback Tom Slade, the late Tom Slade.
Former dentist.
What was the quality of the production?
It was awful.
It was terrible. If you'd have looked at those games we did by today's standards, you'd have thought we were in the dark ages. But again, I think if you go back and look at any broadcast from back then, they were in the dark ages.
Oh, absolutely. The
and so what we were doing, we were kids, and we were doing major college football. It was the best thing in the world. It was the greatest training ground ever.
Yep. And so Jimmy worked at this little station, Channel 25 in Saginaw. He'd drive down late Friday night, stay at my communal living farmhouse west
of. Do you want to tell a story what you were wearing the first time?
He has embarrassed me many times in public, in front of large groups of people.
Impossible.
Told this story while I turn red and I have to listen to it many, many times.
Were you nude?
Yeah, we want to know.
Go ahead, Jim. Go ahead. Tell the story, damn it. Go ahead.
So, Eli's absolutely correct. Memory like an elephant. I drive down after the 11 o'clock news is sagging. I get to Ann Arbor at like 2:30. First game we did, Eli and I had been communicating through phone, and he said, meet me at this address, da-da-da-da-da, and then we'll sleep on the couch and we'll do the game the next day. I said, fine. So I knock on the door. Eli meets me at the door, stark naked.
He was nude.
What?
I guess that.
No towel?
It was the middle of the night. I slept naked back then.
Did you answer doors naked?
I knew it was him, and I just staggered out of bed. He's banging on my door, waking everybody up.
You never knock on his door.
I'm sitting there going, Tim Brandstatter, and there's a naked man ready to shake my hand.
Don't look down.
What did I just get myself into here?
Anyway, so we did that for a while, and then
the proper response to that.
Quick to move on, huh?
His station made him quit, right? Because they thought it was taking up too much of your time or something. So I said, huh, Jim can't do anymore. Maybe I'll do the play-by-play. So
I had to go. What I did is I got a job over in Jackson at Channel 10. And so I wasn't able to get and do this stuff because I had to cover the games for Channel 10 and take video and do the Saturday night news. So that kind of took me off the mix of Ann Arbor Cable. But a couple years later, I started doing the games for On TV. Remember On TV?
Yeah, yeah. Who was your color commentator?
Golly, I was the color guy, actually, but I worked with Larry Osterman.
Oh, okay.
And Larry Adderley. And Ray Lane for some
Razor.
TV game.
Ray Lane. Ray Lane did everything at one point.
Yeah, he did.
He really did.
And you know what? He did it really well. He's like the Jim Nance back then. He could do everything well. He did baseball. He's one of the best baseball guys around. Football, basketball, hockey. You name it, Ray could do it.
And he's 85. He's still around. And every time I see him smoking and drinking, I go, Ray, you have proven that smoking and drinking are not dangerous. You've been doing it all your life, and you're 85, and you still look good. But anyway.
And he still has one of the greatest sense of humors on the planet.
So anyway, Jim then went to Channel 4. He went to Channel 4, late 70s. I got there in 1980, and Jim and Don Shane taught me the ropes under Al Ackerman, the lead anchor. And, of course, we've crossed paths many times since. And he's a member of the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame for his many years behind the mic with both U of M and the Lions. Okay, the one and only Jim Brandstatter, class of 72. So you go ahead. You start. I've been doing a lot of talking.
Yeah, I just wanted to. Hey, Jim.
How are you doing?
Doing great. What do you have to say about the Lions this year? I know you're not a part of it anymore. You're probably a little more free to speak. You're not the kind of guy who's going to completely blow the thing up. But I'm just curious what you feel about the first year under Patricia.
Well, I'm disappointed. I think everybody is. I mean, you've got a 9-7 team from a year ago, and you think that, you know, they might be better or at least scare the playoffs and not finish below 500. So I guess I would be a little disappointed at first, and injuries certainly haven't helped them. But I almost think, hindsight being 2020, you look back and you see what they did in the offseason, they really, in many ways, didn't get better. Like Chicago got better. Minnesota got better. Green Bay got better, but, you know, they've got their own issues. But the Lions kind of stood pat, and that to me kind of was a harbinger of things to come, that they weren't going to be as good. So, yeah, I'm disappointed. I would have liked to have seen them do a little bit more personnel moves during free agency to kind of build on that 9-7 season from a year ago. But they didn't. And then I thought midway when they traded Golden Tate away, I thought basically they were kind of saying it's over and we're not going to be very good and we're kind of giving up on this and looking to the future, which was disappointing.
And they proved it to us that they weren't going to be good after that.
Yeah,
but that was right after they got snacks, though. So you thought, oh, well, maybe they are all in.
Defensively, they're okay.
Yeah, the problem is, snacks is great. And I think he's going to be a great addition to the defensive front. But guys, you got to score points in that league. Mm-hmm. And when you can't but score 13 against Buffalo, you got a problem. Yeah. And you got a quarterback, and I'm a Stafford fan, okay? So I'm going to get that right out here. If there are a bunch of people out there that want to trade Stafford away, I think that would be a huge mistake. But he's got no help. Kerryon Johnson going down. Jones not in there. Golden Tate gone. Kenny Galladay can be a number one receiver. But beyond that, and the offensive line hasn't played as well as I think they should. P.J. Lang is not in there. He's on injured reserve. So offensively, they're struggling.
How do you like the drafts they've had the last couple of years? Because they've really made a lot of noise. Boy, we've drafted so well with Quinn, and I do see some good players. But I just wonder, is it really an upper level draft? One of the better drafts they've had? Are the young players?
Well, I think it's a little bit too early. And again, I think that what you need to have happen is, I think Jared Davis is good. Mm-hmm. I think Kerryon Johnson this year showed that he's a darn good player, and he's got Ragnow, who's his number one pick from a year ago, starting. That's pretty good for a rookie in the offensive line.
Yeah,
so
the tackle from
Ohio
State.
I think the jury's still out a little bit, but they haven't hit the home run. You know, that home run pick, the game changer pick, whether it's offensively or defensively, they haven't made that pick yet. And I don't know how many are out there like that. Clearly, a Saquon Barkley was that home run hit, and it didn't help New York. Yeah. The Giants are struggling a little bit, but. You know, I agree with you. Personnel is the issue in Detroit right now, and they've got to do a better job personnel-wise in the years coming, or you're going to be in that rut of 500 all year long or, you know, for years.
It's about, do they have somebody with a real vision? Is there a genius? Is Bob Quinn a genius? Is Matt Patricia a great coach? Because you can have that home run guy, and if the management isn't there and they've never really had that combination – great general manager and great coach and great owner, the triumvirate. Somebody's got to be great at what they do there. That's the reason why we got 61 years of this. But let's move on to Michigan. Jimmy, imagine when you were playing at Michigan, if you came to a bowl game, of course, back then it was only a big bowl game, and your three top players decided not to play. And today we go, okay, we get that. You know, Gary and Higdon and Bush aren't going to play. Imagine back in your day, if somebody had said that, it would have been national news and blasphemy. So the game has changed, has it not?
Oh, there's no question. Times have changed. You look at Caron Higdon, and, you know, Caron's got a family to take care of. He's got a young child. He's got to look out a little bit. If he looks, you know, and he doesn't have any eligibility left past this year. So he looks at that one game, and he sees Jake Butt, you know, from 2 years ago, who got hurt, tore an ACL in his last bowl game. So his draft status dropped four rounds, cost him millions of dollars. And if you're Caron, you say, is it worth it? Or should I, you know, worry about the future? Back in my day, Eli, you know what? We didn't have those things to worry about because they didn't pay those guys that much.
Right.
But now you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. And
millions.
So I don't criticize guys because ultimately what's college for anyway? You're educating a guy to go out and make money and go to the next level and work his way into society and whatever his chosen field is. Mm-hmm. These guys, their chosen field is football, and their entry-level pay is $400,000,
$500,000. How's Jake Butt doing?
A whole lot different than what we had when I came out in 1972.
Got injured again.
Anybody know how Jake Butt's
got injured
doing?
Again.
He got injured again?
Yeah.
But he's on an NFL roster?
And he's still
on
Denver?
Yeah, he's on an NFL roster mm-hmm. with Denver, but he was injured in the bowl game against Florida a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and tore ACL. Denver drafted him in the fifth, probably would have been higher, but Elway drafted him in the fifth round, and then this past year in training camp, I think he tore his ACL again.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you like Michigan against Florida, Jim?
I like them. It's getting tougher, though, because you know you don't have your best linebacker. You don't have your best running back. And Rashawn Gary's not in there.
Devin Bush, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's getting tougher, but I think Michigan's got the talent to do it. I think Shea Patterson has been a difference. Again, Chris Evans, I think, is a real good back. Higdon kind of kept him in second string this year, but remember a couple years ago, Chris was that was 1 and 1A between those two. Chris is going to get a lot of. He can prove now in this game, you know, how good a running back he is.
no Amari Samuels either, because he's got, you know.
No Amari Samuels, right. Our three running backs, or four running backs, yeah, that I think will be in the roster are going to be
True.
Chris Evans, mm-hmm, True Wilson, who I love, who started the year as a walk-on out of De La Salle. Who else? Chris, it'll be Berkeley Edwards, who's a graduate transfer from Minnesota, and Christian Turner, a young freshman.
How's
it's a whole lot different than when the season started.
What is the update on Berkeley ever since the concussion, the hit?
He's back practicing, so that's a good thing. He would not have been cleared had he, you know, had he not gotten through the concussion protocol. So at this point, you trust the doctors and say let him go. I mean, I saw a thing today that Alex Hornibrook from Wisconsin, still is having little issues in regards to his concussion protocol.
Jim, did you see at all the disaster coming with Ohio State? If you told me that week that a team was going to score 62 points, I thought Michigan might score 60 because Ohio State had given up 51 the week before. Did anybody see that coming? I think that's the most shocking result any of us can remember in our lifetimes watching Michigan football. Were you completely aghast?
Yeah. No, I was. I couldn't see. I did not see that coming. And everybody asked me, what was the problem? And I keep trying to say, I don't know. I think it was a perfect storm, to be honest with you, why it happened. First of all, Ohio State is tremendously talented, okay? That is a given. They have not played well all year. I mean, they gave up 298 yards rushing in the first half to Maryland. And yet against us, we can't get, across the street. And again, they have great wide receivers, and they had a great game plan in that they isolated their fast guys against our slower guys in our secondary, and they exploited it with those crossing routes. And we just didn't seem to be there. Michigan didn't. And Ohio State had this chip on their shoulder because all week long, even in the Ohio State newspapers in Columbus, they were the underdog, and everybody wasn't giving them much of a chance against Michigan. Even though they were at the horseshoe, they were underdogs. I think that was the motivating factor, and they just played as capable as they are. If they'd have played like that all year, they'd have probably not been beaten by anyone.
You know, when you see a game like that, I always wonder, and even when they win, I always think about Bo Schembechler, because you played for him. In fact, you were there his first year. His first year was your first year, and you did Michigan replay with him every week for years and years and years after that. You're a great storyteller, and I've heard you tell many, from the Jim Young story to whatever. Give us one of your great Bo stories, because not only do you know him and tell the stories, but a lot of times you sound like him, whether you realize it or not, with the way you emphasize certain words. So go ahead.
There's so many of them. The one I like the best, and it's just how Bo was, who he was, and how he went about his business. We were playing Texas A&M. Remember Texas A&M came into Ann Arbor with that triple option, they had the barefoot kicker that could kick it from 60 yards.
Who was the barefoot? What was his name?
Tony Franklin.
Tony Franklin.
Was that what
and
was?
The running back there?
George Woodard. George Woodard?
Oh, that's right. Woodard was the George
remember
Woodard.
That game. I remember that day, yes.
Yeah. So in that game, remember they were split crew back in the day, where they were the Southwestern Conference, and Big Ten officials and Southwestern Conference officials split the crew to referee the game. So Michigan, every time they make a good play, something seemed to happen. And it was like Bo kept thinking, God, this Southwestern crew is doing that. So he's on the sideline, and he wore his emotions on his sleeve. So there was a holding call on a Michigan player, and it was he asked the referee, screamed at the referee. He said, which guy was it on? He said, number so-and-so. And so he looked out into the field from the sideline, and Bo screamed at his own guy, whatever guy it was. He says, don't hold USOB, right? So then there's another flag that comes in. And Bo looks, and there's another flag, and he goes, who's that for? And he said, that's unsportsmanlike conduct. I said, on who? I said, on you. He said, the referee said to Bo, you called me an SOB. And Bo looked at him, and he's looking at the flag, and he goes, I didn't call you an SOB. I called my player an SOB, you SOB. Right on the sideline, and the referee threw another flag at him, threw his hat at him. It cost him 30 yards.
Oh, that's great.
But that was Bo.
Who won that game?
And as you can imagine, it wasn't SOB.
Michigan,
did Michigan win the game? I think they did, didn't
they? Yeah, Michigan won the game big.
Stopped George Woodard.
Hey, Brandy, Eli mentioned Michigan Replay. I still watch Inside Michigan Football. Can we still scrap that and bring back Michigan Replay? I like that format.
No,
what?
No, it's gone the way of MASH and all the other great series. It's just the times have changed. Back in the day when we did Michigan Replay, and Eli knows this, the production, you used to come in after the games at 1 o'clock in the morning and tape that show at Channel 2 or Channel 7, and the coach had to stay up all night and do that. And now with night games, we'd be, 1 year with Lloyd, we taped the show at like 4 in the morning.
Wow.
And it just, you can't do it anymore like that, I don't think. It's just, coaches don't want to stay up and do that. We can do it on tape with John Jansen now, and it's a much easier go from everybody, and it's still a good post-game show.
I just like that you would access, do – there was so,
we have access to the players.
There was just way – there were more highlights and more breakdowns of the plays. That's kind of what I liked about it.
Yeah. It was that's right. You know, like, again, time
I love that show.
You can't do it. Plus, you know, back then you had most of the games were always at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So, or 2 o'clock, we'd take the game tape and we'd break it into the highlights and let the coach talk about it.
And, you know, you'd sit there with Bo. He'd say, "Okay, now we're going to look at the second half or the second quarter highlights." And you'd let him run long so Bo could talk over. And was a bit like, "Well, you know, and that's we shouldn't have done that. And that was really a mistake on our part. And he should have done." It was so funny when he would get disgusted.
He was great. He'd watch those highlights. You know what? The best part. I wish we could have taped. Because we run the highlights prior to actually running the tape. So he would look at, so he'd know what was coming.
Right.
Because, and so we'd kind of do this dress rehearsal thing. Well, there were times he'd look at it and he'd go, "Wait a minute, run that back." And so we'd have to back the tape up and we'd run it back thinking, "God, if we had a right guard, you know, we might be dangerous offensively. That guy is a ham and egger." And that, of course, before the tape ran. And then we'd run the tape and he'd say, "Well, we had a little trouble up front."
Hey, Jim, how's your podcast? I'm sorry. I didn't. Go ahead.
No. Podcast is going well. Yeah. have fun. We did a thing with Dan Wetzel the other day. It's just it's kind of a new deal, this whole thing about podcasts and social media, and I've had fun with it. And the Brandy Show continues going, but I've got a good deal. I told those guys I'm kind of semi-retired, so I'm not going to do one of these every week. I'll come back, and during the football season, we'll do some stuff. And then during the off season, I'll keep myself busy, but not on an every week basis. So we're having fun with it, and I'm looking to expand it into different things, having conversations. You talked about Ray Lane. Mm-hmm. I would like to sit down and do a half hour to 40 minutes with Ray.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Just go over the history. Eli, you'd love it. The history of broadcasting in Detroit, and the fact that he was contemporaries with the Al Ackermans, the Dave Dials.
Yeah, you know, when you think of it,
the Ernie Harwell, all of that stuff.
TV didn't start until about 1948 or 49, and Ray was on by the mid 50s. He goes back to history of Detroit TV, but the history of TV.
Wow.
Oh, absolutely. He goes back. He started his career up in the Saginaw Bay City area and then got moved to Detroit. But, I mean, he's got a wealth of knowledge of old broadcast, and he worked in Cincinnati.
Right.
Doing Cincinnati baseball, Major League Baseball. He did the Tigers World Series in 1968. The story of Eddie Brinkman in the locker room on live television dropping an F-bomb.
I love these
Ray
fucking
Lane.
Guys.
That's exactly right. And there's Ray, right, with champagne corks and everything going on. It's live TV, and Eddie Brinkman drops the F-bomb on him. I mean, Ray's got so many great stories. I just think that we need to kind of keep that history going and remember it. Reminiscing and nostalgia is all really big these days, I think.
Yeah, it is.
I just saw a thing on TV. You guys would love this. And I think you probably, it's Detroit Public Television, a film documentary called Meet Me at the Lindell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all about the Lindell AC. And they asked me to do some stuff, and I was in it because, Eli, you know me, Channel 4, it was right down the street from us. That was our press club, basically, after the 11 o'clock news was over.
Right.
And I grew up with Jimmy and Johnny Boutsakaris in that place. And I loved that documentary because it gave a real picture of the history of Detroit and how important sports were to this community and how important that little hole-in-the-wall bar was to athletes in the city of Detroit. What a different time it was.
Well, it was also back when athletes and sports reporters hung out together and drank together, and that's completely changed.
The Billy Martin Boswell fight was there?
That's right. That's right.
Pardon?
Billy Martin and Boswell, the pitcher.
They got a fight in the alley.
Yeah. You know,
Billy actually knocked him out.
I'd heard all those stories before. It was nice hearing him again. I thought they could have lit you a little bit better. He looked a little pale in the shot.
Well, they did. They didn't have great audio.
Said, damn it, you better light brandy better than that. God.
Yeah, well, hey, look, I loved it because I think the history of that place, and that's kind of where I'd like to go with my podcast a little bit, find some guys out there. I would like to do some radio history. Eli, you'd be a good one to talk to because you've been in radio quite a while, and you were in the, you know, radio wars back in the day. When J.P. McCarthy and Dick Pertin ruled the roost.
I know.
You know?
And people listened
back then.
And they
were like kings. They were like kings. And everybody else was kind of nipping at their heels, trying to get a little piece of the action. And back then, it was that healthy competition between radio stations and TV stations.
Well, it was also, you know, FM wasn't the whole FM revolution was huge, too. Because suddenly JR wasn't what it used to be, and you go overnight, you never heard a song on AM again.
Exactly, was because FM was that alternative. It was what I want to call new wave back then, and you were part of that because you were different. You weren't an AM, you know, cookie cutter sportscaster.
Wow. Oh, JP.
And that's what gave you what you are, and that's what helped FM grow, but that's part of the history of radio and television in this market, anyway.
Right. And of course, I think
is we don't talk enough about.
And of course, my success at RF paved the way for Drew to come along.
Of course, without
me, Drew's show wouldn't have been shit.
Hey, absolutely. Didn't you guys know that was coming? Because you know it's all about Eli.
Yes, I felt that one coming, and it did. It got the competition got very unhealthy. The further we got into it between radio was pretty ugly there for a while, but.
But that's all part of, I think, the growing up of the whole media thing. Now look at it. You've got podcasts competing with, I mean, in many ways, a lot of people feel that AM radio is going the way of the newspaper.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take you back even further because when I started, TV wasn't very big either. They didn't come up with videotape until about 1979 anyway. The newspaper guys ran the town, and you couldn't get into the Tiger
Eli.
Press box.
Unless
the Baseball Writers Association approved of you. And guys like...
Wasn't that amazing?
We were so-called, well, not me or you, but we were so-called pretty boys that didn't have any substance. I tell people, I remember walking into Tiger Stadium in 1983. I was just starting to, you know, people were starting to know me and see me on TV with Joe Falls, and everybody in the stands is calling to me, and I'm walking next to an icon, the greatest sports writer in the history of this market. I'm a newcomer, and they're talking to me and not Joe Falls, because that was the power, and those newspaper guys hated us.
Oh, absolutely, and they're right. You're right. You couldn't get in the press box unless you were approved by the Pro Baseball Writers Association. Same thing with the football, NFL, Pro Football Writers. They had a little list, and if you were approved by them, then you got a press pass.
Well, the podcast people won't be on top of the heap pretty soon. They won't even let those sports writers in the press box.
Well, you know, everything has changed because now sports writers have become podcast and social media and TV online guys.
Yeah, the guys
they're no longer writers. I still love you. Go back to the way back. Okay, I'm talking the 40s now, and I was not born then, but I appreciate what sports writing used to be. Falls was a little like it, but when sports writing in those columns, they used to be literature.
Right.
Now it's not so much that anymore.
It's also separation. Separation between editorial and news, too. It's all become a mishmash now.
Right. It's like opinion. But the article, for instance, remember the old, and this is classic, but the Grantland Rice thing about the Four Horsemen of Notre Dame. That should be in a literature class.
Right.
And we've lost that in many ways because of how times have changed. The media has changed.
It wouldn't get clicks these days, I'm afraid.
You know what? I couldn't have said that any better.
Maybe with the right headline, it could. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for the time, and good luck. Go Blue.
This was great fun. It was great talking to you guys. Thank you.
Great talking to you, Jim. Good luck with your podcast.
Thanks, Jim.
Be well.
All right. Jimmy B.
Yeah.
Jimmy D and Jimmy B. Part of the same sequence. What is it? What song is this?
Across 110th Street. It's the song that Michigan Replay.
Oh, okay.
The
I thought
theme
so.
Song was based on.
It was so unfamiliar. I thought this has to be associated with
it
this.
Sounds
Michigan
like
Replay.
A number
really?
One hit tune already.
I've heard it before. I just wasn't sure what it was.
Bobby Womack, right? It was
you
a
got
great
it.
Song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Bobby
Here's
Womack.
Here's the Michigan Replay version.
Play the real one. The real one's a great song.
Michigan Replay. With Bo Schembechler and Jim Brandstatter is brought to you by the General Motors Corporation.
Oh, GM before Al Rosteel.
Pontiac Motor Division. The General Tire and Rubber Company. And by...
Whose voice is that?
I don't know. Do you know Eli?
No.
Out of horns.
Oh, right. Funky
it
show.
Might be it wasn't Brandstatter's voice.
No, I don't think so. I really don't. Ian Winwood's coming up to talk punk rock in the 90s. And Eli, I know we'll talk, but okay. Happy holidays.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
Thanks
here
for all
again.
The help.
Thanks for putting my old broadcast partner on there. It was great talking to
him. We talked to Jim before. He's a friend of the show. Mm-hmm. For always.
Nice guy.
Always in front. Yeah, he's one of the great, great guys. I was sorry to see what happened with the Lions, but he'll be fine. It's probably
a relief.
Yeah. Probably ready to cut back anyway. But
doesn't have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, been a great year, and hopefully 2019. Now that we're number one in Spotify in the state of Michigan.
Great news. Congratulations.
Thank you. it's exciting, and who knows? Maybe we can expand on Dr. Yaldo and Star Lincoln in 2019. That's funny. All the emails said, this should be good for advertising, which, you know, I'm not used to hearing that from people, but it's like, yeah, I hope you're right.
That'd They're right. They're right. You're going to have a great year in 19.
Good. Pumped. All right. Smash, Green Day, The Offspring, Bad Religion, No FX, and the 90s
Smash,
punk explosion.
Smash!
Coming up with Ian Winwood, the author. And did you get to read it much, Trudy? Were you poking through there?
Yeah, I was filtering through, and I just happened on the chapter about Detroit.
Oh, I didn't prominently see that chapter.
We're prominently featured in that book as being the birthplace of one of the main players in punk. So
Iggy?
Lawrence nice. Livermore.
Lawrence
that
Livermore.
Dude.
He worked on Zug Island. And then he went out to the Bay Area.
Is that 70s? Oh, okay. So he went out to the Bay Area. Yeah, the Bay Area was big in the punk history, although it really didn't take off, I mean, big time till Green Day. But they had a lot of punk rock in the 70s in San Francisco. And I was reading about Los Angeles, which, you know, was a big punk stronghold.
Earth, and Offspring. And
X.
Those guys.
Originally. Back in the late 70s, and they're talking about how LAPD, I mean, as if LAPD didn't do enough horrible things, it was sport to break up punk rock gigs.
Oh, really?
Back in the day. Yeah, they would just throw a tear gas canister in there. And,
cool.
Ha, 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 look at those punks.
It sort of fit.
it does sort of fit LAPD.
It fits punk, too, and they're sort of, you know, they're kind of in a battle.
You should play through it.
Ian was talking about the pictures of, you know, punk rock clubs back then, which are always in shit neighborhoods,
right?
Because no nice club wanted a punk rock band.
Yeah.
And how nihilistic, I think is the word he used, just the crowd looks, everyone just completely dislocated, disconnected, but all part of that. It was the scene that really attracted very
outcast,
oddball,
misfits,
disillusioned outcast. Absolutely, which rock and roll did too for a long time. And you know, if you read about a lot of rock and roll people, you find that most of them are outcasts.
Yeah,
early in life. I mean, certainly exceptions, but there's a lot of people who are driven to play guitar because they were looking for something they didn't fit in. And punk certainly was a huge example of that.
Right.
he starts out in the 70s too. It's not just about the 90s. Yeah. He gets into the history too, which I love.
It's a really good book. I can't wait to read it. You're, of course, filtering through it now.
I did start going through it, and Yeah, I was reading about, well, mostly the 70s and then Green Day in the 90s. Green Day really did, you know, it's weird.
Their longevity, too. Who would have thought?
I know.
I mean, they're really going to be around for a long time.
Well, the fact that they have actually taken punk into a musical on Broadway.
Very melodic, too. I mean, they have great hooks. And you know.
And Billy Joe has a small penis. Remember the group he told us that? Do you remember that?
I forgot
about
like that.
It's like stuck in my head.
I remember it now. I mean, but.
You asked her who had the small penis.
It was unfortunate. And old Peter Frampton got it from Connie Hamsey. And that always bummed me out because I love Peter Frampton. Well, until he started following David Hogg.
That's ironic then.
You know, honestly, Ryan Ermani has never been more on than when he said he was leaving Twitter because he was angry about all the people that he followed, that he wasn't getting what he followed them for. He was getting a bunch of political crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear, the more I'm eliminating more and more people from my Twitter because I'm like, nope, I don't need this. I don't need an endless string of tweets all day long about the end of the world or whatever because that's now I'm following you. But I don't know. I guess it's, it's work. Boy, activism seems to be one of the ways you really get big in social media.
It's just because, you know, outrage makes clicks happen. I got to say, though, I am outraged at Mags.
They're being very bad
because
today.
For the time that he was trapped upstairs, he's making up for it by demanding treats and then with teeth. When I reached out to give him, he's just like, I missed out on all these. And I'm getting teeth.
Wow.
You know?
Mags. He looks so unthreatening right now. I thought about him this morning when I was reading about some, was it a zoo or something that shamed a sea otter by calling it thick?
An aquarium.
And people demanding an apology. He's like, what is, how soft? Everybody is so damn soft.
That can't be real.
No.
If it is real, then Mags is owed a lot of apologies. That's all I know.
Yeah, but if you're a fat sea otter, you're in better shape, aren't you?
This one looked.
You don't want to be a
so
skinny
good.
One.
This one did not look so good.
He's
really?
Pretty heavy. Yeah, it was pretty
gigantic. He was definitely thick,
but he was getting around.
What is the cutoff for weight as a sea otter or a seal or any of those things that?
Well, it should
look
be
like something squeezed out of a big giant toothpaste tube.
It should be where you can look at it and go, "That sea otter's thick." You shouldn't be able to do that.
Wow, subjective. Is this more crim breaking news?
Kind of. I mean, I think the Free Press just put it out.
But tell you,
this story overall, this whole overall investigation, which maybe we can get into a little bit, I don't think it's getting enough attention from people. It's kind of a big fucking deal.
I agree. It's just not as easy to understand.
It's hard
as
to digest.
Some other things.
Yeah, and it's the Mike Morse, the federal case, where they're alleging that someone in the police department told them about crimes to which were kicked back. To the insurance, they would charge the insurance company.
And the medical facility which did the MRIs would actually kind of tweak the MRIs to make them worse.
Yes.
Which makes the
insurance
settlement bigger.
Better. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it really, it's you look at that and you go, oh, gee, I guess I know why my insurance costs more than I think it should. It's really distressing. And also,
the feds are doing some interesting work with it.
He's currently running a commercial, though.
Against State Farm.
Oh, he never stops running commercials.
Well,
he
I know
never
that,
stops,
but...
Even with the boob grabbing, it was like, you know, he and his mom, which I mean, I would think
they smart.
Pull those.
Kind of smart.
But this one is specific against State Farm, yeah. So is that what the investigation is?
Well...
It's a multi-pronged thing, but yeah, insurance is part of it. The sexologist sister...
I wonder if these ads are going to run...
She's got a big podcast, doesn't she?
Yeah, they're getting into all that.
She does really well.
That's the main part of the story I highlighted.
I received immunity from prosecution, testified before a grand jury investigating ties between the high-profile lawyer's firm and improperly or obtained police reports. Detroit News has learned.
Is it bad when your sister flips on you?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Investigation?
Well, she's married to the guy. Wasn't it the brother-in-law was getting some nice payments from Mike Morse? He worked at the medical facility, if I remember correctly, that was doing the MRIs. Two sources familiar with the investigation reveal how federal agents pierced the inner circle of the high-profile head of Michigan's largest personal injury law firm by targeting his sister. That's interesting. Is she still married to the guy? Do you know?
I don't think so.
Okay. Mm-mm. Well, there you go. They'll use that against her testimony. They'll say, well, she endorsed him. Of course she's pissed. Although I don't think that's always true. They declined to speak publicly because deliberations of a grand jury is secret. Emily Morse is an L.A. actress, reality show star, and satellite radio host who dishes relationship advice and sex toy reviews, hot, on the See With Emily podcast, which we've been hip to that many times. Federal prosecutor said Enfer is a target.
It's Sex With Emily is the name.
Federal prosecutors identified her as a target of the investigation last year and wrote that they had substantial evidence she participated in a money laundering scheme and conspired to defraud the IRS. Well. I can verify. Yeah, there you go. The investigation is increasingly focused on Mike Morse's friends and family. Last week, prosecutors charged Mike Morse's college friend, Bloomfield Hills Physical Therapy Center owner, Jason Rossett, because there's always physical therapy involved in this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And two former Detroit police officers with tax conspiracy. Oh, boy. Emily Morse received immunity in exchange for cooperating. Mike Morse has not been charged. His lawyer cannot be reached for comment. I always wonder when a lawyer needs a lawyer. Doesn't seem like it's good, does it?
No.
Especially a high-profile lawyer needs a lawyer.
It's not Figer.
And needs a high-profile lawyer. A high-profile lawyer needs a high-profile lawyer. Farming Hills native and UM graduate appeared in the comedy I Am a Sex Addict in 2005, the same year she, this is Emily, the year she launched her podcast. 4 years later, she was broke. In 2009, she filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy, listing $129,000 in liabilities. It's not much for liabilities for bankruptcy, is it? Among her few assets were her Sex With Emily copyright valued at $1. She's since rebounded. She lives in a $2 million Hollywood home. Boy, this is what, not even 10 years later. Owned by a university pharmacist, according to public records, oversees a broadcasting and includes a new SiriusXM radio show and a social media footprint that includes 100,000, 5,000 followers on Instagram.
Big deal.
Whoa. She guest hosted the radio show Loveline with Dr. Drew Pinsky and in 2012 starred in the Bravo reality series Misadvised.
Never heard of it.
So that was a 1 year deal, it looks like. She also appeared at least twice in TV commercials promoting the Mike Morse Law Firm, including one when she watches a sporting event with her brother and mother and says, our team is toast. Well, who did the research on
Michael,
that
Michael, you're never going to guess who I talked to yesterday. Jason called me from California.
When, tits, when, tits, when, tits, when, tits, when, tits, when, tits, when, tits.
Are you listening to me?
I'm sorry, I was thinking about something else.
Tits.
Go ahead. Of course
they it's so inappropriate. It's just weird that they would do that, especially in the middle of this campaign or these lawsuits or civil suits.
That was really what was going on inside his head. You have to play the real
audio.
You see the thing about winning your tits. Huh. A lot of people think that way, though. I don't think he's completely out of the mainstream there. So, wow, that's messy. I wonder what Emily... My guess was that she knew what was going on with her husband. But I don't know, because they're implying that she went from being bankrupt to suddenly in a Hollywood home... Yeah. Hills home.
And avoiding paying taxes.
I really don't get this business of avoiding paying taxes, by the
Me
way,
either.
Which just seems so commonplace. In entertainment, does it not seem that there are a lot of rappers that seem to have tax problems? Why?
A lot of people in general.
Well,
Nick Cage.
Makes me feel like there's a lot of people out there that aren't getting caught if all these people are getting caught.
Oh, no, you know they're not. You know there's a lot of people not getting caught. But that's why they go after higher incomes, because they've got more to hide and they got more taxes not to pay. And they have independent contractor type income, like we do. Except they may have more.
Shut up, Drew.
So, but it always kills me, like Sly Stone, his whole downfall was from not paying taxes. Yeah. He owed so much money to the IRS that he sold his
catalog.
Right, yeah, his catalog.
Mm. Here's some more fun stuff from that that Morse article about the civil lawsuit that State Farm filed.
Yeah,
the financial benefits included $550,000 to buy property for an addition to Morse's house, because he bought the house next door to him, knocked it down, and made his house bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And all $100,000.
He's big. I'll give him that.
Except for $100,000 to an entity that owns his private jet. Mm. There's also a lawsuit from Allstate that describes additional benefits sought by Morse. Morse told his college friend Rosette, that's the other guy that flipped on him, to pay for personal expenses in exchange for referring clients to his physical therapy clinics, according to the Allstate lawsuit. Morse also demanded that he makes campaign donations to unnamed judges.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. And in 2017, Morse asked Rosette and Radom to meet him at Little Caesars Arena to buy a suite for $500,000 a year. Allstate's lawyer wrote in one lawsuit. He wanted those guys to pay for the suite in exchange for referring his clients to their clients for treatment.
Where's the suite?
Little Caesars.
Okay. Wow. Not bad.
It all just sounds like kickbacks.
Woo! What a mess. Mm-hmm. Boy, unraveling that. I mean, that's what's so hard about these things. Somebody has to... you need a forensic accountant to unravel it all.
Yours is busy.
Jeez. I don't know. There's so much work for forensic accountants. If only there were more of them.
It's a good business to get into.
It seems like it. I don't know. I find it fascinating. I think unraveling that, I would think there'd be tons of people go, oh, I would love to do that. I mean, it's an investigating kind of thing. Ian Winwood in a moment talking punk rock.
Smash is the name of the book.
Smash!
A punk movement from Green Day to NoFX.
Smash, smash, smash!
Now, the punk Bible till now has got to be, is it Please Kill Me? Yeah, I also want to say Kill Me Please. It's Please Kill Me, and that's Legs McNeil.
Right.
Which is, God, what a fabulous book. I thought it was one of the great oral histories.
Yeah, it really did. It covered largely New York, didn't it?
New York, Ann Arbor, right. L.A., and the Ann Arbor stuff was great, too, because that was, you know, Iggy and MC5 got kind of plunked in there, too. I mean, it really made a sort of a broad swath of punk. And England, too. England was huge.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll get into that, because that's really where the book starts.
Did you name it Smash after the album, the Offspring album?
Yes.
That's why?
Yeah.
Smash! This album is huge. I was never a big fan of Offspring.
I love Offspring.
I liked them. I wasn't a huge fan.
They're okay.
These guys...
Uh-oh.
What happened?
We're calling the UK.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's enough numbers here.
Just add some, Brandon.
The phone only goes up to 9. That sucks.
You count David Wimp on. It's a number story.
Yeah.
David Wimp has had some great tweets.
Oh, but there's been some backlash against him.
What?
People did not like his number 69 tweet.
What?
Yeah, I guess they expected some creepy sex thing out of him. I don't know why they would. He's Count David Wimp.
There was some backlash on his appearance on the show, too.
What, really?
Trudy was looking at some iTunes analytics. Apparently, there's some fast-forwarding through Count David Wimp.
What? Well, they missed out.
No. I think so, too.
Their loss.
Is that the same number?
My dial-out for England.
What 01144.
That's why.
Oh. Sorry. No problem. It's your first day.
It's his last day,
It's just going to cut into your pre-interview time.
Oh, no, I won't cut into that.
Is it going through? Oh, yay!
Yes. Trudy relaxes.
Well, he hasn't answered yet.
Hello.
There he is.
Is this Ian?
It is Ian. Hello there.
Ian Winwood, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you this afternoon?
Very well. It's Drew, Mark, Trudy, and Smash, your book about punk rock, which... I don't know, punk rock, we were just talking about Legs McNeil's book, Please Kill Me. I assume you must be a fan.
Yep.
Well, that's...
Well, Legs's book is slightly different because it's what we know in the trade as an oral history. Mm. So, you know, every character involved from members of the Ramones to the great Wayne Kramer in Detroit there, a sort of... Speaking, you know, it's just their voice, and it sort of goes from one subject to another, from one person to another. I spoke to dozens of people, but I actually wrote mine, you know, in my own words and their words. I think what they mean to say here, and then sort of rephrased everything. But yeah, it's the Legs McNeil book and a book that was published over here in the 90s by an author called John Savage. Called England's Dreaming, which is a microscopic view of the Sex Pistols. They're kind of the gold standard of punk book that I was, you know, in my wildest dreams aspiring to.
But I didn't mean to suggest that you can't aspire to what they did, because you're really you're focusing on the 90s also, and we get your analysis, which those books do not have. But, you know, I start off reading the book, and the first thing that jumps out at me, and it jumps out at me every time I read about punk, is that the Ramones, they blow up in London. Again, here's a great American thing like Otis Redding, Jimi Hendrix,
yep.
and the Ramones, that's for some reason they can't blow it up in America, but darn it, they go over there and everything kind of explodes for them. Or that was really when they caught fire.
That's right. I mean, this all happened slightly before, well, quite a long time before my time. But in 1976, the Ramones came over and played a venue in London that's actually now a very beautiful venue. But at the time was pretty much a death trap. And the place was called the Roundhouse, and it's in Camden Town, which is in central North London, which happens to be where I'm speaking to you from today. And at that show, many young punks, including members of the Sex Pistols, the Clash, and the Damned, asked Johnny Ramone for advice. And Johnny Ramone said, "Play as fast as you can. Play not play your music as fast as you can, but play shows as quickly as you can." Huh. And the Damned played their show the very next night, and were the first British band to release a punk single in New Rose. But I can distill whatever glories I may have had as a music journalist, I can distill them down into four words, and that is, I have seen the Ramones. I've seen the Ramones. Four words.
When did you see the Ramones, by the way? Because you said you were not around when all this was happening.
No, I wasn't around when they came over, I always think, you see, that the Ramones gave punk rock its sound, and then in the echo chamber between New York and London, Johnny Rotten pretty much single-handedly gave punk its voice, that kind of eviscerating, excoriating, terrifying clarion sound that you hear coming out of his mouth. But I saw the Ramones about 92 or 93, but again at a big room. They played the Brixton Academy, which is quite a famous venue over here, and it was sold out. There were a good, 4,000 odd people there.
What did bands like the Ramones and the Sex Pistols, what did they think of the 90s punk scene?
This is one of the reasons that I wrote the book, I mean, I saw just recently that Johnny, John Lydon, formerly Johnny Ramone, was again having a pop at
Johnny
Green
Rotten.
Day. Johnny Rotten was again having a pop at Green Day, and I find it so tiresome. The relationship with the Ramones and Green Day is very different. When the Ramones were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I believe it was in 2002, Joey was either very ill or had recently died. And so the Ramones themselves weren't able to play at the induction ceremony. So Green Day did the show for them, played four songs, didn't say a word, just counted the songs in 1, 2, 3, 4 and splayed. I mean, the Ramones, Green Day are the heir apparent to the Ramones. As for the audiences, who saw the Clash and the Pistols and the Ramones back then, or at least say they did, pretty much universally, it was a cry of, that's not punk, this new stuff, The Offspring and Green Day, that's not punk. But about that, they're flat out wrong. They're entirely wrong. And the reason that they're wrong is that prior to Green Day's Dookie in 1994 and The Offspring's Smash in the same year, both of those albums went multi-platinum and did so relatively quickly in a period of a couple of months. Both bands being largely unknown before that, but both bands had been together for a number of years before then. Both had released two previous albums on independent labels. Smash was still on an independent label. It was on Epitaph. And all of these bands had formed with no expectation of becoming successful. If there's anything more punk than forming a band and touring the world in pretty dire circumstances, without ever expecting that really you'd even be able to make a living from it, then I don't know what is. So the people that decry what I describe as the second wave of punk bands as being inauthentic are just, in my opinion, flat out wrong.
Well, Ian, isn't it strange that punk sort of unpacks? I mean, it completely rests through the 80s pretty much. And I know you told the story about Bad Religion and how they were out of business. I mean, they were just down and out, completely done. And then they come together to play a few shows, and all of a sudden everybody wants to see them. They record a great new album, and it sells, well, by punk standards, I think you said 30,000 copies. It's sold more eventually.
Yeah.
But it's funny how those guys couldn't, you know, it was really tough to get arrested in the 70s, and there's a lot of other bands like that, too. And then as time goes on, they just build and build and build and build. But that dormant 80s, it seems like, opened the door to the 90s for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, what had happened in the 80s, I think, is that Bad Religion had made their early day appearances at the very start of the 1980s, but they were incredibly young, and they, you know, the band sort of just really broke apart because the singer went to college over in Wisconsin, and you know, it was never a full time concern. Punk, in a larger sense, was suffering all sorts of assaults. One of which was from a genre, a brand new genre called thrash metal, which was unself-conscious and uncool, but really, really feral in a way that even challenged punk. The apogee of this would be Slayer's Rain in Blood album, released in 1986, which just in terms of a sonic fury just smoked the competition. And then, of course, in Los Angeles, where many of the great punk bands were from, you had this emergence of gangster rap and N.W.A., and that sort of lyrical violence and urgency also eclipsed punk. So punk was in a bad way. It just so happened that Bad Religion, almost by accident, got back together to play a show up in Berkeley at a venue called Gilman Street, a very important underground punk club that had then just opened. And much to their surprise, they filled this admittedly very small club with about, you know, 150, 200 people. And that was enough for them to decide to record an album and put it out on their own record label. The album was called Suffer. It's not a particularly angry album. It's not a particularly aggressive album. It's just very high energy, very tuneful, very smart. And without necessarily, well, certainly without meaning to, and without even noticing, that I would say that I make the case in the book that album alone sort of kept the pilot light of punk alive. And I think you can draw a line from that album to the smash of the Offspring smash and Dookie 6 years later.
Ian, how important was Detroit as an epicenter of punk music? I mean, we have boasted to ourselves.
Yes.
Of course we do.
Of course. Well, without Detroit, one wonders what might have happened at all, really. As for the bands that came, you know, in the period after what we know is punk, I'm afraid, have to defer to more local knowledge. But there is no doubt that in terms of what people might call proto-punk, it's immensely important. And the wider Michigan area, of course, you've got Iggy and the Stooges, but you've also, of course, got the MC5. The MC5 were a punk band before anyone knew that there was punk. And also, in terms of a musical community and an infrastructure, the idea that Motown as well, you know, I mean, I make the case in the book that the punk rock record label Epitaph is punk rock's Motown. So the idea that a label itself could have an identity, and so that would, I would say, has been the Motor City's contribution.
Yeah, but you talk about Lawrence Livermore. When I opened your book, that was the first chapter I went to, weirdly enough, who was from Detroit.
Yeah, you know what? You've just reminded me there. Yeah, Lawrence Livermore. Thank you for prompting me there. Sure. Lawrence Livermore now lives in Queens and sometimes spends a lot of time in China. He's now 70 years old.
Wow.
He won't thank me for saying. but in his 30s, he founded the record. He lived in the Bay Area, north of the Bay Area, and then moved to the Bay and was hearing this music by young bands, one of whom was Green Day. And none of these bands could get signed. Listen, this is the thing to remember as well. Major labels just weren't interested in punk rock. Even with Nirvana about to break, they still weren't interested in punk that described itself as punk. They liked punk influence and punk energy, but not punk. And Lawrence Livermore started his own little record label called Lookout, and we released the first two Green Day albums. But Lawrence had, you know, had been around the scene. He was born in Detroit. He doesn't speak very highly of Detroit, I'm afraid to say, which I guess he has the right to do because he is from Detroit.
He worked on Zug Island.
He couldn't wait to get out of there.
That's
but he worked at a foundry in north of the city in a job that I don't think he was very good at and might have blown the city up if he continued to work
there. He sniffed a lot of glue,
then,
too.
And then traveled to California.
You know, honestly, Ian, I'm kind of amazed people decide to be punk bands because it just seems like it can be so unrewarding. It's so hard to break through as a punk band. So many of the bands that we know of now, like NoFX, those guys just for years, they just struggled. And who's the guy from Ann Arbor we talked to who's in Australia?
Oh, jeez.
God. Oh, I can't think of his name. Damn, it's going to come to me. Yeah. We interviewed him. They had a film at the Motor City or the Free Press Film Festival about his Australian band, but they just struggled forever. I mean, they disbanded for 15 years. What is it?
The Dennis?
It is Dennis.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I wonder if he gets a mention in the book. But it can just be such a painful, unrewarding struggle. And then, you know,
Dennis
for
Tech.
NoFX, it takes Dennis Tech. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the band's name. But then 20 years later, all of a sudden, it's like
Radio Birdman.
Davi Op.
Radio Birdman. There you go.
Davi Op.
Is Ian following all this?
Guys, Radio Birdman.
I'm with you. I'm holding on by my fingertips.
Sorry, I'm done. Radio Birdman.
That's the
Dennis
show
Tech.
Is.
Radio Birdman took 25 years to bust through, finally. And NoFX, too, for that matter. I mean, it's just incredible that these guys hang on, and I think by the time things do come through for them, of course, they're just completely dedicated, and they don't really change that much. They sort of keep the punk ethic going. But going back to getting into it, it seems like it's just such a bad idea in terms of, you know, the ability to make a living or the ability to have success. Not that rock and roll is a great bet.
Yeah, that was sort of my cutoff point. I mean, some people have said to me, you know, why aren't latter-day punk rock bands featured, so bands such as the Alkaline Trio, who are a fantastic group. And the reason is that after 1994, after the spring and summer of 1994, any punk band who formed did so with knowledge that, however unlikely it may be, it was possible to become wildly successful and rich and famous. And it seems startling to say this now, but prior to that moment, really that the spring and the summer of 94, prior to that brief period, that had never happened before. None of these bands assumed that they would really achieve any measure of significant success. The gold standard to which they all aspired was Bad Religion, who were selling 100. I mean, you know, and this is not to be sneezed at. They were selling 100,000 albums. And in the home city of LA, they could draw 3,000 people to the Hollywood Palladium. That was the standard to which all aspired.
That's a living.
To refer back to what I said a little bit earlier, that to me is punk. You're doing this simply because, I mean, I'll tell you a story briefly about Noodles, who is the guitarist in The Offspring. When the Smash album broke in the United States and worldwide, he was still a janitor at the Earl Warren High School in Anaheim, and his videos, the band's videos, were being played on MTV. But because he'd promised his boss that he wouldn't quit if the band took off, he wouldn't quit until the end of the semester, he felt honor-bound to continue working there. And the students at the school would say, well, like, dude, you were on MTV this morning. What are you doing raking these leaves up? You know, it's the most remarkable thing. It's incredible. And it changed forever. And really the reason that I wrote the book is because despite the success of so many of these bands and Green Day did get their due with American Idiot. They did finally get the credit they deserved, but I don't think a lot of the other ones did. And so in that sense, despite me writing about, you know, many of these people are millionaires now, I still feel that they're underdogs, and I don't think quite that their achievements and the music has quite got the credit that it deserves.
So do you think women get as equal treatment in punk? Even punk gets no respect, so I guess women joining punk wouldn't make them either more respected or or less, right? So
no, this is a point that I try to approach to some degree in the book. I do so sort of in relation to the lyrics of the time in the context of the 1990s and the homophobia that existed in rock. You know, with Guns N' Roses, some of the Public Enemy stuff isn't great. The Beastie Boys wanted to call License to Ill, Don't Be a Faggot, which they regret gratefully and are very greatly and are very relieved that they didn't. But the
pansies were out there.
Yeah. And you look back at the lyrics of all of these albums that I write about, and they are perfect in that sense. They're progressiveness and their sexual politics and their gender politics. There's no homophobia, there's no sexism. But that still doesn't quite alter the fact that it is very male, very white, very straight music. And I'm not quite sure why that should be. It's a question perhaps that I would need to have had my feet on the ground in Berkeley, in Oakland, and in Los Angeles, and in Anaheim to fully appreciate. There was a terrific band called The Muffs who weren't quite a punk band, but who were sort of produced by Rob Cavallo and on the same label as Green Day. Who were fronted by a woman called Kim Shattuck, and I did try to get to speak to her, but couldn't get through to her. But I take the point completely. You know, it's a very... this term tends to be used only as an insult, and I'm not meaning to use it as an insult. It's a very politically correct scene, but it still doesn't alter the fact that it's, you know, very patriarchal. And actually, with a few exceptions, tends to remain so.
Smash, Green Day, The Offspring, Bad Religion, No FX, and the 90s punk explosion. Ian Winwood, you're well-spoken. I love the way you speak of this subject, and I look forward to finishing the book.
I wish everyone season's greetings, as you say over there.
Yeah, have a fabulous holiday. Good luck with the book.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. I hope all is well in Detroit.
Yes, thank you very much.
Come see us sometime. Bye, Ian.
Yeah, please do.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye. Patti Smith.
Patti Smith, yeah, punk. She's punky.
Debbie Harry was punk.
I think of them as more new wavy. I mean, you do have that sort of demarcation between punk and new wave, which is tricky.
It is tricky.
And he writes about Stiff Records, and if anything was punky, it was Stiff Records. I mean, started with, I think, $1,500 in England, and The Damned, the first Damned album, which is, I mean, that's really the punk rock blueprint for many, was on Stiff Records. And the Masters, you know what happened to the Masters of the first Damned album?
No.
They were erased. Because Nick Lowe, they were recycling masters because they couldn't afford tapes. So they recorded My Aim Is True. Elvis Costello's first album is recorded over The Damned.
Oh.
His first album.
Hey, true to their name.
Yes. That was a Nick Lowe decision. So
something that endears me to Ian Winwood is that in some article he called Chad Kroeger a cunt. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kroeger wants to fight him.
Awesome.
Is Kroeger upset about it?
Yeah, he offered to fight him on
stage. Did
he
really?
Huh?
Wow.
I'd love to have seen that.
How cool.
The best thing that ever happened at a Nickelback concert.
Damn.
Fight on stage.
Punk's a great subject, and it needs more literature. I'm kind of surprised there isn't more than there is about punk.
Yeah. Well, this is the sort of the epic thing to do. Pick it up while you're taking your time off over the holidays.
I guess it's not as sexy and romantic as those... Those stylish new wave guys.
They have some great stories, though.
Oh, yeah. And no, punk, the ugliest shit goes on in punk rock because, as he points out, you know, it was going on in the seediest places because the beautiful clubs would never have a punk band. They want their place to get screwed up.
But look at what it's progressed to, because Dexter Holland of Offspring, what is he like? He's a pilot. He's brilliant. He's a scientist.
Genius.
I don't think there are any less brains in punk.
Yeah,
I
mean, they're accomplished.
The opposite.
Isn't there a story about Green Day going to Europe and Billy Joe getting body lice?
Oh, that's right.
Because it was so gross where they stayed.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the Johnny Rotten stuff?
But a lot of the foolish haven't, and they're still stuck there. And that explains Green Day.
He doesn't like Green Day, huh?
No, he's...
Johnny Rotten doesn't like anything, though.
Yeah.
He rags
does he like?
Anything in own. He doesn't like being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He didn't refuse to show up.
Studied leather jacket stuck on it. All right. And I think it's a parody and it's a shame. If only they'd offer me something of their own. Just something that came
about him?
Completely from their own life's experience. Instead of that kind of two-dimensional parody.
Yeah, you're right.
We're talking about Rotten. Cut it out, Rotten.
Like, what I'm offering here is kind words and a way out.
Oh, American Idiot is truly of their experience and a pretty good musical. I liked it.
I think he just gets a lot of attention by doing that.
By shitting on everything.
There's some great Green Day stories in here. I mean, I really haven't read that much about Green Day, but they're talking about when they came off their tour, which was supposed to be a small tour, and it kind of got bigger as it went along because was Dookie?
Dookie was it was taken off. Massively huge album.
And WFNX in Boston had them at the, where was it? One of those Boston public locations. I think it was a Holiday or something, and they drew like 65,000 people, including like 5,000 who were just busting everything in sight. And Green Day played 7 songs before they had to leave the stage.
Wow.
And I think it was, is the drummer's drum Trey?
Yeah.
Cool.
He was left on stage just playing drums by himself. The other and there were people surrounding him just, you know, slam dancing while he drummed until
That's
he left
awesome.
The stage.
Cool.
A lot of cops, a lot of tear gas, a lot of crap. I mean, pretty punky scene, man.
Speaking of cool dancing, do you want to show that video, Brandon? That Brandon came across a pretty sweet video. I don't know what. Do you know what song he's dancing to?
I don't. But let's take a look at this. It was apparently the tiebreaker of an ugly sweater contest
at Zotford in Holly.
Really?
One of the finalists is Tom Mazzaway, ladies and gentlemen. You can see him dancing.
Is this today?
I guess.
Yeah! Woo!
Wow.
Dance with your boy, dance.
Tom's got some moves.
Ugly sweater dance off.
Where did he get that sweater from? He better have won this. He's out dancing that guy like crazy.
Man, looks like he's athletic in a Chris Farley way.
Kind of shocked.
That crazy dancing making my penis soft.
He's got some moves.
In a Mags way, in a John Belushi way. Yeah, he's getting down there.
Look at him, man. He's there. Wow.
And he did win the dance off. Sweater contest.
Wow, did you get a bird dog for that?
Yeah, did you get some kind of bonus?
I guess we're going to find out because he texted me going, are you guys still on?
Why do we
I forgot about it.
Why does he want us to call him?
I don't know.
Does he just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas?
That's my suspicion.
Can we bleep it out?
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
That's what it is. We're bleeping it out. So now everyone knows when it bleeps, that's what it was.
It may well be. Merry Christmas. Or should we just go ahead and call him?
Yeah, get it out of the way.
Hey, have we fished through all the good cookies?
No,
on this
no, there's still some good cookies in there.
She does everything. She does candy.
I know. Mm. I wish you'd take them and leave because they're too good.
Robert Carmack was...
Yeah.
He surrendered.
Yeah, they had a story on him on the news there.
I know. That is... that story is... What a wild story.
Turn of events.
Yeah. Well, if he sold $1 million property he didn't own,
oops.
I think he should surrender.
Oops.
I just don't know how can you know?
Hey.
I mean, somebody knows. Hey, Maz.
What's up, Drew? Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Hey, Maz.
Good.
Just saw your sexy Trudy. Dancing.
Yeah, good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You won the dance-off?
I won the ugliest sweater and the dance-off. I hit the daily double.
Where'd you get the sweater from?
It's a woman's sweater I picked up at a secondhand shop.
For the competition.
I love the fact that it's a woman's sweater. You didn't need to tell us that, but you did anyway.
Of course.
Was it a pants-off dance-off?
I made sure everyone knew that it was a woman's sweater.
Just took the pads out of the shoulders?
Was there a bird dog for winning?
Yeah, I got a little kickback.
All right. All right.
Yeah, Anthony took care of us.
The kids are going to have a Christmas.
I think the best costume.
Sweet.
Anthony had the best costume. He had a Mike Tyson Christmas sweater. I think he should have won.
Is there any action coming in the last couple days?
Yeah, I got to say. Hold on a second. Okay, I just shut my alarm off.
Okay.
Slow down.
Sorry about that.
No, things were a little slow. But
I stole the car today, and I'm in the process of
selling a truck right now.
Sweet. But that's good. So
we interrupted it.
Starting to come.
The kids' Christmas was looking questionable. Would you say the kids' Christmas is probable at this point? Can we upgrade it?
Yeah, I'd say it's probable. At least partially. Partially probable.
Who's sending all the pictures? Is that Lily or Abby sending all the pictures, or Maddie?
Oh, my God. That's Lily, of course.
Lily. Okay.
Lily. Yeah.
And she wants clothes, or is she asking for conspiracy books or anything?
No,
more intellectual?
She didn't do conspiracy books. She did a lot of clothes, did some sneakers, some UGG boots, some UGG slippers.
Oh, wow. Those are expensive.
Anything that's got three digits at least
goddamn
attached to it.
Shoes.
Way to spoil it now. Exactly. She listens back.
All right.
That's asking for, I think.
Yes, doesn't mean
hope for.
But the top of the line, you know, it says car.
Car? She doesn't say Jeep. She just says car.
She just says car. I just want a car.
Okay.
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything.
I kind of agree with Mark.
If you get her that car, though, can you make your like quota for the month?
You know what? It would be a pretty good idea, Drew. If I could sell myself a car, that might work.
Yeah, if you get a commission, then there is a significant discount. Have you discussed that with Kathy?
Charlotte.
I'd get the, thanks, Charlotte. Yes.
She's trying to join your family.
Kathy has nothing to do with anything of what I want to say. Thank you, girl.
Charlotte.
What about Maddie's phone? Where does that stand?
Yeah.
It seems that it was...
Don't start.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
Please don't start.
All right. I'm sorry to hear that. Did you get the $10 taken off the bill that was originated that issue?
Yeah.
If that was
that
taken
$10
off.
Came off the bill.
Whoa. Okay. Well, yeah. Some good negotiating.
But the new plan, because I thought about that, you know, you're going to get the, I shouldn't go there. All right.
Really?
There was a new
Here's
phone.
Here's the kicker, Drew. It's a buy one, get one phone. So Kathy wanted a new phone.
Yeah.
So I buy the one, Maddie gets the free one.
Right.
But no.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, but couldn't you have like put the new put the free phone, I don't know, in the closet for a while?
You can, but you're paying for a new line. You have to open a new line of service.
Oh, I see.
There's always a catch.
What's the cost of the new line if it just sits in the closet?
Probably like $30, $35.
Abby.
My little girls don't even sound like that anymore. Breaks my heart.
How long ago was that made?
Oh my God!
Really?
Just play the whole. Just play the whole.
Let's see.
Outgoing
Maddie's
message.
Maddie's 11. She sounded like she was 3 then.
So that's 5 years ago.
I would say at least 8 to 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
You've reached the man's ways. Lily, Abby,
please,
Maddie,
Daddy, and Mommy.
Sure.
Please leave us the message.
Have a great day. Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
I love Charlotte's in my family now.
I know. It's great. What are you getting her for Christmas?
Whatever she wants.
Okay, good. I'll send her over.
Okay.
So
I got her all kinds of Sesame Street stuff.
She doesn't like Sesame Street anymore.
Sorry,
that's horseshit. Oh.
She stopped watching it about a year ago because that is a baby show. That's her quote. That is a baby show.
She's outgrown it.
No.
It's good. She's ahead of her time.
How about Max and Ruby?
The hell is that?
Those are the two rabbits without parents?
I don't know that.
Max, no Sesame Street better than Charlotte?
Yes, I don't know.
Apparently.
Drew, I can go one-on-one with any kid.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know. I didn't know Sesame Street was in your wheelhouse.
Like to swim with them? Yes. Now you're going one-on-one with them?
Yes. It's totally in my wheelhouse.
Okay. We'll remember that. One of these days
What's
I'll
the name of
in?
The homeless one? The homeless
This is just like a
member.
Roman Polanski situation.
Do you know there's a homeless Muppet now?
No, I don't know the homeless Muppet.
That's bullshit,
Maybe
though,
because
Oscar the Grouch, he lives in a trash can, man.
Yeah, it's his home,
yeah, but
though.
He's not homeless. That's a home.
Oh, okay.
That's
a home.
You ever seen how big that trash can is underneath? It's huge.
Yeah, it just goes.
Yeah, he's a tunnel rat.
Yeah.
Does Big Bird live in a house? He's a bird.
Yeah, he lives in a house.
Yeah.
He's got a big nest.
His own place with a big roof.
It's stupid that Big Bird lives in a house.
With his boyfriend, Snuffleupagus.
Oh, yeah.
Which he has to hide.
Mark.
No, they're boyfriend and girlfriend, just like Bert and Ernie.
No, Snuffleupagus is part of his imagination.
What? I see him, though.
Yes, but he's an imaginary character.
I see him, though. He's there.
He's in your imagination, too.
Nobody else on Sesame Street sees him because Big Bird's afraid to come out of the closet. He has to keep his boyfriend hidden.
Hey.
Hot. That keeps it hotter. Maz, the Quicken Lanes Bowl, will you be in attendance?
I would love to go, but I'll be here. Zot, 9 to 9.
Oh, all right. Oh. Well, that's cool. You can watch it there.
Yeah, we'll have it on.
Really? Are you guys going?
No, I thought
did you give me a pass?
I thought the Quicken Loans Bowl was must-see in-person football for you.
I love going to the Ford Field games. You know, that game will be, you get spread out, put your feet up. It's nice.
And it's Georgia Tech and
Minnesota.
Minnesota. That's a fun matchup. Yeah.
Roll the boat. Roll the boat with PJ Fleck.
Is he still saying row the boat? I don't even know.
Yeah.
He took that with him.
Mm-hmm. They fought for it.
Why would you fight for an old coach's slogan? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's his slogan.
It's his.
Yeah. No, I understand why he took it. I understand why they wanted it when he's gone.
Because it's such a strong brand.
I thought it was stupid, too.
I know, it doesn't really make
sense. And when you're 5-7, row the boat sounds even dumber.
Sounds like you need to avoid sinking.
Any important early bowl games, Maz, you want to point out that you're planning on watching for those who are looking for exciting bowl games?
I'm in a bowl game pool where you pick every single game, just pick the winners.
Yes, me too.
And I am so far 4 wins and 3 losses, so I'm not doing too good.
Sorry to hear that.
Me too.
Nobody cares.
Do you like Michigan against Florida?
I do. They should beat Florida easy.
Do you have any interest, and Gary are all out.
I know they are. They should still win.
On a level of 1 to 10, what is your interest in that game?
Probably a 2.
Yeah, mine's a 1. I honestly do not care one bit about that game.
Nah.
I mean, I want them to win, but I don't care.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's the difference between ending on a shitty note, a good season, and just putting a stamp on a good season with one black mark.
It's not even the whole team, really.
If you end the season with 2 losses, it just looks bad because they ended the last 2 years with losses.
Meh.
I think it'd be good for them.
Well, yeah, you'd rather win than not lose.
What the hell was that?
Drew, what bowl's Vitek in?
Tom, I'm 6-2 in my bowl pool since you asked.
Your teams have played 8 bowls and his have played 7?
Unless he has an update.
Yeah, we didn't pick one game. I don't think we picked one game.
What kind of a bowl pool is that?
Why not?
I forgot.
Who do you have in the Gasparilla Bowl tonight?
Oh, for God's sakes, people.
Who is playing?
Marshall's giving up 2.5 to South Florida.
Nobody cares.
Oh, my God.
I got South Florida.
Who gives a shit about that game?
The Hokies are playing Cincinnati on New Year's Eve, and I think it's the Military Bowl.
Cool.
Do you remember the old days, Drew? The Sugar Bowl used to be on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. I do not understand why a 6-6 team, even though it's my school, is in a game on New Year's Eve. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Nope.
No, it shouldn't. There should be a little more quality there.
Yes. We've
talked about the old Astro Blue Bonnet Bowl. Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
That used to be New Year's Eve.
That was kind of a lame bowl.
That was the last game before the New Year. Okay.
Hey, what was the big argument about that? What did you have? You have something wildly wrong about it.
Yeah, I thought it was like the Blue Bonnet margarine.
Oh, yeah, you thought they were the sponsor. That's right.
I thought they were the logo, yeah.
All right.
And they weren't. Well, why are we calling you?
Yeah, why are we calling you?
I got something for you guys.
Okay. We're ready.
Best $200 I ever spent.
What is going on?
It sounds intense.
Did that guy...
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, I had a gentleman come up to me. He didn't know I was on the phone. Okay.
Sounds like a
potential probably the guy that was trying to buy a truck.
Could be a shout out coming.
He might be.
Heads up.
It's just for us.
Matt Jennings and I slaved over this. We got a little something for you.
Okay.
We're calling it the 12 deaths of Christmas.
I have a feeling he slaved more.
The 12 the 12 what's of Christmas?
Deaths? Yes.
Well, it sounds so un-Maz-like. I'm interested.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Matt does all the writing.
Here we go. In 1954, an American rhythm and blues singer, Johnny Ace, accidentally shoots himself in the head on Christmas at the age of 25.
Whoa.
Okay, did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay. We move on to 1977 now, and we are going in chronological order.
Well, Matt does all the writing.
Okay.
The iconic British actor and comedian, known for his physical comedy, of course, Charlie Chaplin, passes away in Switzerland at the age of 88.
On Christmas?
These are all Christmas deaths.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Matt does all the writing.
Here's one near and dear to our heart. 1989, Billy
Oh, yeah.
American
oh, that's
League,
right.
Of course. Players,
great driver.
He slid into home with Art Fowler.
Yep. He was killed in a car accident at the age of 61.
With who?
Billy. Art Fowler.
Who was driving?
Art Fowler.
Booze. Art Fowler was driving?
It, yeah, and I think it was on Billy's property. Didn't they hit a trailer?
Put on your dick!
Went to a ditch.
Weren't they hammered?
Yeah, they were. Oh, come on. Of course they were.
All right, we move on to 1996 now.
Okay. How are we going to get 12?
Do you remember, of course, JonBenet Ramsey?
JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, murdered at the age of 6, of course. Open investigation still with the Boulder Police Department. So that's still going on.
Well, you really did your homework on that one.
Yep, sure did. Okay, 1998.
This is number 5, I think.
Brian McLean. You remember him?
Brian McLean?
Talking on December 25th.
For the rock group Love. He played for Love.
Love.
You ever hear that? That
Trudy? No.
Dead at the age of who the fuck is.
I'm not sure, but did he die on Christmas?
He died on Christmas in L.A., massive heart attack. How about this? He was having dinner with a guy that was researching a book about the band. He was 52 years old. He died at dinner with the guy that was researching
food.
The book.
Didn't matter.
I guess they knew how it ended.
Why'd you skip over Dean Martin?
Dean Martin Jr.? Or was it Dean Martin?
Dean Martin died on Christmas, 1995. Really? Hmm.
I must have missed that one.
Shiny and sparkly.
Or Matt did.
And splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night.
You also forgot Nikolai Ceaușescu.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Why the fuck did I even bother?
Yeah, I'm reading about Love.
I forgot W.C. Fields.
Love is an American group that was most prominent in the late 60s and early 70s. Arthur Lee. Okay. Did Mays hang up?
All right. We're going to move on.
Okay. Geez. Okay, we're on number 6.
Please do.
Here's one of your favorites, guys. In 06, the Godfather of Soul, James Brown, dead at 73.
Oh, that's right. Wow. I remember him dying on Christmas.
That's right. Okay.
And they didn't bury him until, like, March, right?
I'm concerned because there's nothing wrong.
That's true.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Because he could never get off this
table. Ted, where you at? This is a man's world.
Number 7.
What'd you say?
Here's one of my favorites. No, 2008.
Yeah.
The Great Eartha Kitt.
The Great Eartha
Kitt. No, I'm not.
Singer, of course, Santa Baby, and of course, Catwoman.
Yes.
Dies of colon cancer. Had to get that in. At 81.
Day. I'm sorry to hear 81. That. 81. Okay, I don't know how we're going to fit 5 more in here between 2008 and this year, but I'm curious.
They slow down.
We go to 2011. This is up your alley, guys. Jim Motorhead Sherwood, American rock musician. He played for Zappa, Mothers of Invention, and Rubin of the Jets. He dies of 69 years old.
Man.
Sorry to hear that.
Sorry, Jim.
69.
I mean, I guess he's more important than Dean Martin. He's more important than Dean Martin because you put him in the list and not.
Well, no,
Dean.
I put Dean. Mark, I counted your Dean Martin and the Focescu or whatever his name.
Oh, then we're at number 11
now? W.C. Fields. So we're almost done.
Yeah, I moved a couple up, Drew. Come on. We go to 2012.
I love the
now.
Fluidity of the list.
Hey, I'm outside in a woman's sweater right now trying to get the sun.
It seems appropriate for some reason.
All right, I'm psyched.
I'm freezing.
Bring it. Who's next?
2012, Frank Calabrese Sr., known as Frankie Breeze, an American mafia hitman, of course, for the operations in Chicago.
Okay.
He was dead in prison, at a prison hospital at the age of 75.
Wow, that's a terrible way to go.
It was bad.
Who's that dude?
But he now, got to experience Christmas.
You're going
to
know this next one, Drew.
One last time.
Is this the last one?
I got two more. This one and one more.
Okay.
2013. He was an ex-Yankee.
Hey, slow down.
Played for a lot of teams. But Mike Hagan, what is he most important? What was he most known for, Drew?
Wait, what's the name?
Mike Hagan.
He played for the A's. I remember that.
Yeah, and the Pilots and the Yankees.
And the Pilots.
Mike Hagan.
For 1 year.
Was he the Pilots' first catcher?
And last?
No. Now, look, you know what? The more I think about it, maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
Look, didn't he swap wives?
Oh, no, that's Fritz Peterson and Mike Kekich.
You were not even close, but
there's
thanks.
There's nothing about Mike Hagan?
Mike Hagan. Yeah, the first name.
Anyway,
right.
Mike Hagan dead at 71 in 2013.
Wow. That's a big one. Okay.
And finally,
dead at the age of who the fuck cares?
Finally, it's our favorite guy from just a couple of years
ago. Our favorite?
George Michael.
George Michael, Last Christmas. Wow.
Yep.
It was the last Christmas for everyone on their list. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Slept through his last Christmas, unfortunately.
Heart failure at 53 years old. Young. 53.
Heart failure.
That was tragic.
He died of a broken heart, just like Andy Gibb.
Yeah, because that boyfriend was mean to him. Remember the boyfriend hung out of the house?
He's still being mean to him.
He was.
Fourth Gibb brother, Andy Gibb, who had a solo singing career. He died of heart failure at the age of 30. Robin Gibb was 62.
Wow, the Gibb murder, or the Gibb deaths in there, too. This is going to be a very difficult segment.
Merry Christmas,
the
everyone.
The 12 deaths of Christmas. Maz, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You enjoy it.
And have a great new year. I won't see you for a couple of weeks. I know that's going to break everyone's heart.
Well, I just hope your family has a great Christmas in spite of been a rocky couple of months.
It has been.
It looks like maybe it's picking up now.
Beautiful Christmas card, by the way.
What, Mark?
You had a beautiful Christmas card, by the way.
Oh, he did?
Thank
you.
Likewise to you guys.
Oh.
Well, can you bring it by so I can see it, Mark?
Take a picture of it.
I'm going to have to superimpose Charlotte onto it now.
I love Charlotte. Charlotte's welcome into Mazaway. And little Annie.
All right,
and
Maz.
Little Maddie.
Little Annie and Maddie, yeah.
Give our best to everybody out there.
And little Joey, who's sitting there. Joey Boob. Love you, Joe.
Uh-huh. It's one of your children, too, Maz?
He is. Joe's awesome. My boy.
Get out of here.
Bye, guys.
I will see you, Maz.
Bye.
Love you all.
Love you, too. All right, hang up.
Save your money for when you call 1-900-MAKE-OUT with a guy.
Yeah!
The 12 deaths of Christmas with Tom Mazaway.
Wow.
Eventually, it seems that there were maybe 14. That's a Christmas.
I just want to thank the guy that was buying a truck that had to wait patiently at his desk while he went outside to do that.
Oh, boy.
God bless him.
Yep. Well, that would be six sets of wheels going out. It's the, did you say the 20th?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. It's the 20th. Jesus, I got shit to do.
I know, me
do
too.
Do all your shopping.
Oh, no.
Well, you can go on Drew's Favorite Things and just order stuff from there.
That's true.
The Amazon portal on the website.
You pick up Smash by Ian Winwood.
Already added it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or the Pager book.
Pager's on there, yep.
I don't know what the title of the Pager book is. It's good, though.
It's just Jimmy Page, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can see, you can...
it's titled, They Call Me Pager.
Read about it.
Here's a preview.
Chapter 1.
Sounds like that other book.
Had to poop. His butt was all stinky because he had to poop so badly. There was a gross woman named Rebecca who was sunbathing all naked and she was fat. Douglas walked up to her and said, I need to poop. Okay, Rebecca replied. I like poop.
Sounds like a good book.
It really does.
Page was wild.
Did you guys hear some of the crazy-ass local news today? The guy that was arrested for killing his grandmother.
Oh, yeah. And Warren.
And he tries to take a deputy's gun. I guess he's in the Toledo jail.
Yeah.
Shot to death. See ya!
Whoa, go to Toledo.
So he joins grandma. And
why did he kill grandma? Do we know?
I don't know. He was at a Days Inn in Toledo, though, I believe.
Oh, man.
They found him, so he was celebrating in style, or he was mourning in style. Whatever he was doing.
He was trying to get the officer's taser.
Yeah.
Trying to get the taser.
I'd like to have a taser.
I don't know if that was a bad idea to have. That was
one.
The best move while you're inside.
No.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me.
And then MSP arrested some road rage shooter on I-275.
Whoa.
No more guns for you.
Yeah.
And there's another crazy local story. I'm trying to think of what it was. You know, I was reading last night because A&E was doing the story on Shelly Miscavige.
The other local story, you're talking about the guy that died snorting medication inside the jail?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, in Macomb.
Yep. Macomb. Yeah, and nice, by the way, that he gets drugs from another inmate.
Yeah. 20
years. I mean, don't they search these guys before they go in the cell? How do they get drugs? I've always wondered that because, you know, like the guy from Party People who just partied on heroin for, you know, he was in jail for like 12 years or something, just high as a kite.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what else are you going to do?
He's taking drugs.
I know, you just would think be hard to get drugs in prison, but it seems like it's easier.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're having trouble getting drugs on the outside, just get yourself arrested. You should get some.
Something that's coming up in the city is the John Sinclair Foundation Cafe and Coffee Shop. It's going to open on New Year's Eve.
John Sinclair is opening Woodward, a coffee shop downtown?
With the help of Rodriguez.
Really?
Yeah. Rodriguez is helping to fund it or push him to do it. And so it's John Sinclair.
What's his documentary called? Sugar Man?
Yep.
Yeah.
Searching for Sugar Man?
Searching for Sugar Man?
This particular thing is open at Dr. Bob's Psychedelic Healing Shack at 18700
so
Woodward Avenue.
Is Sugar Man still gigging, by the way?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
He had a nice string of gigs last time I looked. That was a couple of years ago.
Now, guess who's managing this facility?
Who?
Would be under the management of Adam Brooke.
I was just going to say Adam
no
Brooke.
No way, really?
It's going to be live music and poetry events, and it says, come have a smoke or a coffee or whatever.
That sounds perfect.
Juice, whatever.
Well,
you
that
want.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. That's kind of like, isn't that a first?
We're
here. You know, I mean, they've got it. British Columbia has it, and Amsterdam has it, but this is for first sort of coffee.
Probably.
Shop.
There's a story today about all the cities that are saying, nope, no no pot in our city, including Birmingham, Troy, Royal Oak, Livonia. All the city councils already voted no.
No, absolutely
no. Pot
no?
Shops. Yeah.
Oh, no shops.
Wait, Ferndale's down with it, aren't they?
Ferndale's totally down with it, man. Ferndale's ready for it. It sounds like Berkeley's going to say no.
So no establishments of any kind, no. Including like food or anything
to buy
like
it.
That.
That's
yeah.
Kind of lame.
Smoke weed every day.
You want to see a story on an asshole?
Sure.
The Inside Edition just ran back. Look at this loser woman.
Wider audience, and I think Travis
not that loser.
Scott.
That's Travis Scott.
Maroon 5 will be a good fit.
Really? Maroon 5 and Travis Scott?
Now, this woman looks like she's having a great time dancing while rubbing her baby bump. But
gross.
Prosecutors say the pregnancy was all a fake. In fact, they say she pretended to be married to a firefighter battling those devastating California wildfires, even scamming people out of thousands of dollars
she
in donations. Well, now that woman is under arrest.
You believe that? She would post videos
this
like this.
Dancing queen to face the music. 28-year-old Ashley Bemis admits she faked her pregnancy, and now she's being charged with scamming big-hearted Good Samaritans. Cops say Bemis not only faked that baby bump, she also faked having a hero husband named Shane, who she claimed fought California's apocalyptic wildfires.
You
generous people pitched in with money and goods.
All the way from blankets to baby wipes to things that
wipes.
Would actually assist.
She was so bummed she got baby
out on the line.
Ashley is here today, and she's coming clean about it all.
Bemis
she
appeared on Dr. Phil last month after the accusations against her first surfaced. She admitted her story about having a fire hero husband was fake.
You don't have a husband named Shane that's a firefighter.
No.
She also admitted that baby bump was fake.
She has nice shutters in her house.
It's just folded up blankets.
That's a folded up blanket?
I did too. Yeah, it's blankets on top of blankets. It really is.
What made the belly button?
It just like wadded
so,
up tissue.
Bemis has now been charged with grand
theft.
That's
the same thing, actually.
Ashley Bemis
really?
Is back in court
well,
on Friday,
like
and she's expected
there.
To enter a plea then.
You're lying scum.
What an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Is GoFundMe as polluted as social media in general?
Yeah.
In that way?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. It's a bummer.
Oh, everything is going to be infiltrated by assholes. It's
I know.
Just,
it
know.
Seems like a large percentage.
Can anything be troll-proofed a little, just a little bit?
No.
Real life?
Mm-mm.
Can real life?
I guess
life?
Not.
You got to pay the troll toll. If you want to get into that boy's hole, you got to pay the troll toll to get in.
Well, we have some best ofs to do because we're not going to do any new shows, so to speak, until the new year, but thanks to everybody for downloading the podcast this year and for making us number one in Michigan.
Yeah.
According to Spotify, I tweeted out that Nerdist link, and I think we'll probably get it on the Facebook page too.
Yeah.
And you know, the only bummer was I thought, what's this show? Just looking at random shows and states, and it popped up this podcast that I hated. And I was like, oh, God. Kind of bummed.
Why? Because the name's connected.
I felt that the quality was not up to my standards. And it shouldn't be one number one in the state it's in. I'm not
is
even
it a state we don't like?
We're not crazy about it.
Okay.
Well, we don't think too much about it.
Okay, great. Shows how cool Michigan is, but, right?
Yeah, Michigan knows how to pick a good podcast to listen to. And
yeah. Thanks, Michigan. You know,
I was really surprised to see our name there. So that was, but yeah, since Brandon sent it, I guess I should have been tipped off. That was pretty cool. That really made my day. And is a nice Christmas gift, along with hopefully the 220 or so likes we get on Facebook to take us to 20,000. And remember, Saturday from 12 to 3 at American Coney Island on Michigan and Lafayette?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If you hold a badge, if you're a police or fireman, or you're retired police, retired fireman, EMS, they're offering free lunch for you and your family. And, you know, Charlie called today. He was a little nervous. Like, it's going viral. This thing might be bigger than we thought.
Mm. Good, right?
Yeah. Well,
Charlie, it's yeah, very simple. It's, Charlie?
It's just not, the place is not like a, it's not a gigantic place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
so,
right.
You know, they want to do this, of course. They're not saying they don't want to do it. But he was just concerned. So, anyway. And he also didn't want Grace to get nailed with a giant bill because he's doing it with her. Well, probably he probably has his own self-interest. So he convinced me to get involved, along with Luke Nowacki. So anyway, the gig is on, and hopefully, you know, the thing is they can't serve people till midnight. So there's always that concern, like, you know, what do you do if the line's wrapped around the block or something?
Oh, what do you do?
And Grace has to shut down the business because it's Tuesday and they're still in line
for
free meals.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it should be nice, though. Yeah. He just wanted to make sure.
No.
Grace didn't get pummeled in this thing. But, yeah, it's on. It's cool. It's brought to you by No Bullshit News and American Coney Island and Luke Nowacki and us, too. So there's that. So get us out of here, Brandon.
Hey, well,
breaking news with Mort Krim.
What?
Secretary of Defense is stepping down. Mattis is gone.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Any reason given?
In his resignation letter, he said, "You have the right to have a Secretary of Defense whose views are better aligned with yours." So you got to believe it's the whole
ISIS Syria,
yeah.
Oh my!
Jeez, Louise.
Oh well.
Well, that's fun.
I hope we're here tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I hope the stock market's here tomorrow too.
Well, and by the way, if the government shut down, post office keeps
going.
Oh,
that too.
Because most the post office, all the people on Twitter were like, "Yeah, no, we're probably we fund ourselves." So there's
at a loss.
But you know, so I asked if we ride along on the post in the little truck, and a lot of them chimed in to say, "Yeah."
What? Really?
Podcast goes, yes, where the USPS goes.
Yeah, that's
on foot.
I have heard that from others as well. It's good because you can play, pause, whatever, need company.
Yeah, well, they're all day long at their job, and we're with them.
Thank you. I hope the government doesn't shut down. I don't think we need that. In addition to 19 other shitty things going on right now.
Whatever.
Although I heard unemployment is going to continue to go down, which is like, wow, all this crappy news, and for some reason, at least people have jobs. But, yeah, thanks, everybody, for listening this year. And we'll have best ofs. So hopefully you'll enjoy the best ofs and be with us at the start of the year. And buy lots of merch, too. The Drew and Mike store is open. And Drew's favorite things, too, although it's a little late. See you.
Happy Christmas, Kelly! Thank you!
A Festivus for the rest of us!
Here is my Christmas request.
'Tis the season to get my jollies, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la.
And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white.